Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. And everybody knows me by either Psychic Journeyman or by Donnie. So welcome to the show. Tonight was Free Angel Reading, the Roundtable Midnight. We're going to open all the mics and everybody can talk and chat, and we're going to do readings in between the chatting and talking about whatever. So if you're out there listening in, you want to join the conversation, the roundtable, please come in and just hear your voice. If you're in the chat room, just let me know if you have any questions in there too, and we'll bring them to the format here. And I promise you, I will definitely try to keep track of what's going on in the chat room there, guys. Sometimes I have a tendency to lose focus as we're talking out here on the phones, so I'll be checking periodically. So, also right now we are also on Ustream too, so we're live, not just audio, but video too as well. So if you want to go to my website, or just go to Ustream and punch up Psychic Journeyman, you'll sit there and pull up my live link where we're actually live as we're sitting here doing the show. You'll see me in the comfort of my home doing just that, doing readings and having all kinds of fun. So right now we're going to go right to the phones, open up all the mics, and we're going to talk and chat, and anybody has any questions or something like that, or if you can tell me what's raining so much, that'll help me out just a little bit here too. Right now we have let me take a deep breath and talk about the situation. You know, we started talking about a lot of things on the show and that kind of thing, and I would just wanted to sit there and bring the format tonight about psychics and procedure and the idea of people pulling their heads out of their asses and saying, you know something, if you're going to get a reading from somebody, spend some money. Because you have no problem going out there and dropping $18 for a CD. So, you know, it's not any different. If not, I mean, if you ask me, the ideal whole situation is of greater importance. You know, the idea of taking advantage of a situation where a person has over 20 years experience in a lot of things, I'd want to tap into that knowledge. So I was willing to do what I got to do. Anyway, area code's 718 and 773. You're on the air with us now, so welcome to the show. And if you could tell me, guys, what your names are and who you are.
Yes, hi. My name is Tempest. I'm 773.
You what? Tempest?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to cut you off. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Rich from 718.
Oh, you're 718, Rich.
Yep.
And Tempest is 773. So welcome, guys. How's it going?
Good.
How was you guys' day? Did you guys chase any old women in the chairs? We used to do.
Pretty easy. You want to see
how fast an old lady can really wheel that wheelchair? Put a Cadillac behind her. I guarantee you she'll be putting some speed behind that sucker. I don't really recommend that because you can get in a lot of trouble for that. But still, at the same time, you know. So with the situation, Richard and Tempest, I mean, you guys have gone to psychics. I've gone to psychics. I have no problem dropping the money I need to drop on a psychic to sit there and get the information I'm looking for. I do have a tendency to be a little bit different maybe in some ways that maybe more people should be, is using your intuition to really open up to see the person that you're working with is actually legit.
I agree. I agree. I think they should be compensated for their time. I think everybody has a gift that allows them to, you know, be of service and, you know, on this earth. And I think, you know, it's just a form of exchange.
Yeah, because the reason I say that, because I was working on Keen, and a lady calls me up, and she wants to know if she's going to meet a guy anytime soon. And, see, I usually give the information that comes to me, okay? So the first thing that came to me was she needed to work on her chakras, and she needed to do some aura cleansing. She needed to be working on herself is what she needed to do in order to attain this relationship and this kind of guy she wanted to be with. But she was not even willing to hear that. She thought that I was trying to keep her on the phone to make some money. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to give her the information where she could actually attract what she's been trying to do for a very long time. And you can see with her attitude, it's probably why she doesn't have anybody in her life. But I was just like, you know, spend the money. If you're going to go and call the psychic on a phone line, you know, you can't. I've had people call me up and said, okay, I got 3 minutes. Well, thanks, man. No pressure there. I got 3 minutes to spit it all out there, and it's like people don't realize that we're not machines. We can't just spit it out right like boom, 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 boom. So that means I've gotten better over the years, I will say, that I listen to the guidance that comes through, and it comes through very quickly. I can pick up a lot of things for other people very quickly, but at the same time, I think there should be some respect there too. Instead of going, I mean, I understand they want the information, but they also should understand they're talking to a person. So the idea of being rude and mean because of money, they're still putting the money first. In that respect, so therefore to sit here and say that, you know, I shouldn't give you any compensation or as less as possible, it's like lack of respect in two different directions. Lack of respect as a person, and also lack of respect of saying, okay, you don't deserve this, so therefore speed it up. I've had people say that to me too. Say, you're taking too long.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, they said, you're taking too long. I'm sitting there going, then go somewhere else, dude. They're going, are you serious? I said, it's like this, you know, if you're not going to have any respect for the whole thing, then therefore, go to somebody else who can spit things out for you and do what you want to do. Because I've had people sit here and look at me and go, okay, I want you to tell me something. Okay, you came to the wrong place. Because what they're saying at that moment is they want you to tell them what they want to hear. Not what they want. Not the, you know, I tell people, if you're coming to me and you're not wanting to hear the truth, then go somewhere else. Because we're going to try to get as close to the truth as possible and get it out to you and what I'm picking up. I'm not going to sit here and go, okay, you want to, this guy, cause we, I don't know if you, I think Tempest has been on the show a couple times where I'm pretty blunt with people.
I think I've been on once, but I ended up getting tired. I had to hang up because I had to go to school in the morning. So I ain't really get to, you know, finish out any interaction or anything before.
Well, we had one lady on the show where she was wanting to know if there was going to be a relationship with a guy. And there were three psychics here that night. And we said no. We didn't. None of us seen it happening. And she seemed to clench onto this thing a whole lot tighter. I was there going, let it go. So I came across and asked her a question. I just looked around. I said, okay, I want to ask a question real quick, because as soon as we said that, the first thing she went to was, okay, how does he feel? How does he feel about me? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Who cares? What's really important here is her and how she feels and what she wants. Because it's all about her, because it's her life. He wasn't here. So the reading for me was toward her. And when she asked that question, that told me right there that she wasn't spending enough time on herself. It was all about everybody else. And then when I sat there and told her that, she even clenched on it even tighter. I'm not letting this guy go. And then we found out later on that there wasn't any relationship, really. It was a person from high school. Does this sound familiar to you? Tempest?
What? The conversation that you had with that lady?
Yeah, you wasn't there, was you?
I don't think that was the one. I don't think, even if it was, I probably didn't get to listen to that point.
Yeah, well, I sat here and asked her flat out. I asked her, I said, okay, I told her, I said, let me ask you a question. She goes, what's that? I said, why are you clenching on this thing even tighter the more we tell you that's going to happen? I said, you should ask yourself the same question. Why are you clenching onto it? And I said, I feel like the reason you're hanging on to even tighter now than you was before you called us was because you know the truth and you know it's not going to go anywhere. You're just not ready to let go of it yet. And people
That's
ask me.
That's why I was really calling, too, because I wanted to know about a relationship that I was in with somebody that I'm with. Not saying that it's going bad right now and I don't know how it's going to be or anything. But you know how you could be in a relationship with a person? Like, you can be happy and everything, but in the same sense, you want to know if it stay that way or I don't know. I had a question about the relationship that I was in with somebody that I'm with.
I feel like you're questioning it because of some of the things that were said to you when you first got together that don't seem to be playing out like they're supposed to. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
That's the thing I got. It was like, oh my gosh, there's questioning. Somebody said something. I guess we could look at it as lying. But still, like you said before, you're happy and content with what you have and you feel good about it. It's just, there's a couple of things that were said that are making you think.
Yeah.
Is there more back there? That's what I got. Is there more that he's not telling me?
Right.
Is he really sincere in who he really is? So I'm just saying, with the situation of when I sit there and focus and I say, okay, what I'm picking up is someone needs to focus on themselves. It's not the person per se. It's the idea of one person finding themselves to answer those questions for themselves. Because if there's something missing with you, you might find it missing in somebody else. And does that really denounce the idea of someone lying to you about something? No, but it helps you understand maybe why they're doing it. About asking yourself the same thing. Have you lied to yourself about anything? You know, so it could be reflecting through somebody else. So coming back and go, you need to look at this again, and this is a certain thing you shouldn't do anymore. You should be totally honest with yourself. And if there's certain things that you're not really happy and comfortable with, you might be happy with 98% of it, but that 3% could still eat at you for a while until it becomes 98%. And that's the important thing.
Wow. Wow.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
So you got to go to school. You're still going to school, right?
Yeah, I'm in college right now. I'm actually doing this biology test. I didn't even know we were having this test, but I'm doing my biology test as we speak right now. So, yeah, I'm in school. I was thinking about transferring because where I go to school now is so far from where I stay, and it's like a back and forth thing. My daughter go to daycare, and it takes a lot of time, so I'm debating on whether or not to go to that school or transfer to another. So.
Right. Well, that's one of the situations, you know, like you got to weigh things out. But like I said before, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be content with what you do. So I'm saying if you get a nagging impression that keeps saying you should transfer, then you should go that route.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason it's happening like that is because, you know, guidance is. It's always directing in the direction that's good for you, what's in your best interest. And when you don't listen, that's when you start getting problems. Because I know when I listen to my angels and guides and I go in the right direction, it works out better for me.
Yeah. They do work out better.
And when you don't listen, I found this out last week. Last Monday, I went to the gym, worked out, got on, and I was doing this routine. And as I was doing this routine, I decided to add an exercise to it, which was hyperextensions, which is basically described like a reverse sit-up. It works your lower back.
Mm-hmm.
I got on the machine, and like I said before, this is an exercise I normally don't do. And my guidance was kicking in. I remember sitting there doing sit-ups, and I was going to, oh, so I'll just do some backward. And it was something about the whole thing. It said, walk away, don't go there. And when I got on the bench, the piece that holds your feet was, I shook it 3 times, and it seemed like it was pretty sturdy. I get on the thing, and I got halfway into this exercise thing, and I don't know if you know anything about hyperextension, but your body, your upper body is hanging out over the bench, and it's the part that goes up and down. So as I was going up, the feet, the thing that holds your feet, it broke. So I went slamming into the bottom of the bench and into the concrete floor. So you see,
are you
that?
All right?
Well, I got 9 stitches in my face, and I also got a broken nose and a concussion.
Whoa.
But see, the thing was, I could blame the people that didn't keep the upkeep on the machine, but I still made a choice to get on that machine after my intuition told me not to. So what I feel about the whole thing is I'll take my responsibility by making a choice to get on it. But I think the other people should also be held accountable too, because the machine wasn't fixed like it was supposed to. Uh-oh. We lost Richard. We did, didn't we?
Richard?
Yeah, because there was 2 of you guys on the phone, on the line, but the only one there now is you.
Okay, let's talk.
Seems really quiet tonight, huh?
Mm-hmm, it does.
So I'm just saying, with the situation and intuition, we still have to take our responsibility for ourselves, too. But in the situation where you look at it in so many different ways and saying, okay, if the bench would have been marked a certain way, or maybe we would say, someone would have put a sign on and said, don't use this machine. See, somebody would have had more information to make a proper decision. But with the situation I was in, I really like working. I really like that exercise because I feel like you need to work your abs and your back together because they work together. One pulls,
yeah.
One pulls, one releases. Back and forth, like your bicep, your tricep. You don't. I mean, if you worked out, you wouldn't just work your biceps, would you? You work both of them.
Right.
So that's why I was like, heck with this crap.
I know you were, especially after you got hurt like that. I'm sorry you got hurt like that.
Oh, no, it was one of those things. I've already talked to several psychics, too, and they don't feel like I'm going to get anything out of it. I have my friend, Regina, who lives in Tennessee. She does, but she's the only one out of all of them. So I was, and I've actually got, and then Amy asked me flat out, what is your intuition telling you? What's your gut feeling about the whole thing? And I said, well, I like working out there. And since they fixed the machine like it's supposed to, now I can actually use that machine. So we can look at it as a motivation. I was telling a guy in the gym today, I was like, okay, how much you think they should pay me for my motivation to make them fix that machine right? And he's like, huh, I never thought about it that way. Well, I did, because that machine was fixed approximately one day after I hurt myself. That machine was fixed.
So, I mean, so you're not going to sue or anything?
Well, so I was going to talk to him this week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it one step further and see what they're going to do. Because they actually called me and they called me back. I called them up and said, hey, I don't like to ruffle anybody's feathers. If I can do it a different way, if I can sit down and talk to these guys and accomplish what I would do if I had taken them to court, and I will. So I'll approach it that way first and see what they're going to do once I get into a situation. It's one of those debatable things too, man. Because I always tell people in certain situations, you know, like I said, my gut feeling says my health is more important.
Right.
Now, that can mean anything. That could be walk away, because the situation could be too stressful, which could be harmful too in the same sense. So you know, you sit there, look at the situation. So you play it out. I mean, I felt like I needed to call him and talk to him about the whole thing because, you know, like I said before, it was not just a minor accident, pretty major. I mean, shoot, I just got the X-ray. I just got the I guess they call them MRI.
Yeah.
I just got that bill. That's over $600.
No, really?
Yeah, $600 and some. That's just for that bill. That's not like for the stitches and the being in the emergency room and that kind of stuff. And they actually, I've seen this happen too here in Ohio. I called an ambulance for my daughter to go to the hospital because she had asthma. You know, they sent me a bill for $545 for bringing that in for us using that ambulance.
Yeah, we were talking about that. The time that we were talking, when I was talking to you, we were talking about the price of, like, going inside, you know, going, like, in the ER for something small and having a humongous bill later.
Yeah, I think in some sense of the word, if you go to a doctor, like plastic surgeons and that kind of stuff, those are things that you want. But I think when it comes to certain things that happen with emergencies and that kind of stuff, I think there should be a different scale for that. I don't think a person should be thrown out in the streets because they can't pay a doctor bill. Or they did pay a doctor bill, and the doctor bills took all their freaking money so they can't pay anything else. That is definitely an imbalance. The biggest imbalance I've ever seen in my life. And I was sitting here talking to a friend of mine. I was like, okay, like for instance, I understand paying for services. I really do. I mean, like when I do angel card readings, when I do a seven-card angel reading, I would like to do the whole reading. So therefore, I like to set the prices accordingly, where we can just sit down, pay one flat fee, and then we can do the whole reading. Because I used to do readings where I would charge $25 for 15 minutes.
That's
funny. Yeah, so what I started doing was, I was making $100 an hour, too. People said, are you making that money? I was like, I was making an average of $200 a day. So yeah. But it was one of those things, too. I can make more. I really could have made a whole lot more money. But where I work is charging $25 for 15 minutes. I'll give you an example. A couple come in, and I'm doing a reading for them, right? So I have the timer on, going for 15 minutes. And we went to another 15 minutes, going 30 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the guy starts bouncing around. I'm sitting there going, I said, sorry, sir, but do you guys use a bathroom or something? We have a bathroom. He's like, no, it's not that. He says, we're taking it 30 minutes. He said, I can't pay for no more. I said, okay, well, we do this. And then his girlfriend kicked in, and she's like, well, I'll pay for the rest of it. I've never met a guy yet that likes to have his girlfriend pay for anything. And in that situation, anyway. So he said, no. He said, I can't pay for the rest of that. And then she goes, well, I'll pay for it. He goes, no, I can't let you do that either. I said, well, I can solve the problem for both of you. He goes, what's that? I'll stop the timer. You pay for the 30 minutes. And then I'll finish the reading.
Wow.
And they're like, that's what they said. He's like, what, really? You're not gonna stop right there? I said, I don't believe in giving somebody half the information. You know, you're paying for 30 minutes. That's $30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, that's not 30. That's what it is. 25. I said, it's 50. Anyway, I said, turn this up to my last. Go ahead, finish. Give me $50. We can get it going. And then I'll finish speaking. Finish all the information up for you and do that kind of thing. You know, they were like freaking out too. I said, yeah, but I just can't imagine them walking out the door going, okay, I wonder what was going to come up next. You know?
They've been very mad about that, huh?
Yeah, it was, and I've been doing these pyramid spreads for a long time, and I just, you have to finish them up so you get that final card. It sets the tone for everything, so I did.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things that people say, well, you can make a whole lot more money if you just be a little more stern about the whole thing. Yeah, I guess I could. But what is the purpose?
I mean, it's a gift from God. I mean, you know, if you feel it in your heart, why not? God bless you with the gift, why not share it?
I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, like with Michael Jackson, don't you think that's a God-given gift too?
Yeah, his talent was a gift.
Yeah,
his talent was a God-given gift.
He shared it with everybody.
Right, but it also hurted him in ways too, because you know you can't really spread yourself too thin. But at times, you know, he just was so kind-hearted that sometimes he just couldn't help it, but. Sometimes it can hurt you at the same time, you know. So,
what do you think hurt him the most? What do you think hurt him the most? Just being too talented, or was it just too much money?
Too much money, and I mean the talent. I don't believe in having like too much talent. Maybe it was just, you know, when you get to a certain point in your career and you're so successful, you may have so much money and you're doing so good for yourself. I guess it's so many people that try to take from you. Like, they start looking for other things to take from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more than your talent. Like, instead of, you know, you can't actually take someone's talent, but you can pull somebody down. You can say mean things to them to make them not love themselves. You can, you know, do a lot of things to hurt them instead of, like, going for the actual target. You can try, you know, go around walls that they're trying to build and try to break them down in other ways. Think he let them. In some ways.
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody in the chat room is, if anybody in the chat room wants to come on the show tonight and talk, the number here is 646-721-9031. So come on and check us out. Hey, Journeyman, I am working on setting up my website, networkmarketingwithjoan.com. It should be up by April. What's your read on that on my website? Well, so let's see about that whole thing, huh? What are you saying? Okay. Well, how about this? Hey, Joan, how about you come on the show and talk to us? You doing? It seems like you've been working very, very hard. I mean, I hope you reach your goals too, because I feel like it's a very positive thing, a very positive step in the right direction. I feel like you should also take advantage of the situation too and get down on as many sites as you can. You can actually go to MSN and Yahoo and Google and those places, and you can put your website on those things. And I've done that before too, and it didn't cost me anything. But the website itself is going to attract a lot of attention and going to get a lot of potential for you. So be prepared to deal with it, because it may be overwhelming sometimes, but well worth the effort. When a heart is open to giving, it is also open to receiving. I was sitting on my website the other day, and some things just popped in where it was like a phrase that came to me. It says, give where love is given. Give love where love is given. And it was like, made perfect sense, because we were talking about donations and stuff like that. I'm sitting there going, you know, when I sit there and do what I do, it's the ideal of being so intense. The reason I'm so straightforward and so blunt is because I feel like that most people don't have friends around them that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like a really good friend is a person who will tell you what you need to hear instead of always telling you what you want to hear. Instead of being, you know, have faith in the friendships that you have, that you don't need to go that route to keep them.
Yeah.
If a person can't deal with the truth, then really they're not being truthful with themselves. So therefore, in some sense, they're not being truthful to you either. So, you know, they're always hiding. If they're hiding something from themselves, they have to hide it from everybody else too. It's just the natural order of things. So. Put it all, go, and just put it out there and see what happens. I guarantee you things will be fun. And the situation we're talking about with your guy, what's his name?
His name is Roderick.
I'm going to sit here and do a 5-card spread. I haven't done a 5-card spread in a while. They're really intense. Really cool, too. Sometimes I just want to scream.
Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson made a song that make you want to scream too. So maybe he was trying to translate something through that song.
It could be. Yeah, I'll say one thing too about money too. It seems to, like you said, attracts people that want either want a lot from you or they want to take something from you.
Mm-hmm.
Or like most people assume that you have tons and tons of money, so they take it from you. They feel like, I guess they feel like they're doing you a service.
Wow, and it's their own greed too. It's just their own greed. They can't find a way to get their sales, so they pry, like really like pry on the weak. Not saying that Michael Jackson was weak, but you know how you can be so loving, and people know that. So they pry on your lovingness. They pry on your kindness. And it's just wrong. But people do that.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to look at the situation, too, where it was like this doctor. I don't care what anybody says. The guy smiles all the time and there's all things going on. It could have been a situation where I do believe the guy knew that what he was doing, he shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think, but I don't think, in the sense of the word, he did anything that would be considered intentional to him.
Mm-hmm.
There were some PC, let me put it this way, procedures are being followed. But to give somebody an anesthetic all the time, the one thing I was talking about too, I think Michael Jackson was weak in the sense of the people they had around him.
Right.
The plastic surgeon, I mean, come on, look at the surgery that was done on this guy's face. Now, he says he only had a couple surgeries, and maybe he did, but the extent of those surgeries. Plus, he also has a situation, I think Michael had a tendency to justify other surgeries as not plastic surgery, correctional surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he wouldn't have solved it, because people say, how many plastic surgeries have you had? Now, when you say that, he might look at it and say, okay, I've only had 3, or I've only had 2, but the other ones could have been becoming considered correctional surgeries, so therefore he doesn't look at him as being plastic surgery. So he justifies it. So it's perception. People look at things differently, all kinds of things. But I'm just saying, when you look at his face and you look at what, I mean, you know for a fact that there was doctors that were working on him that knew that it was too much.
It was too much, yes.
They knew it, but they still did it anyway. So you look at a situation of greed. what is, I mean, to me personally, greed is something more in the line of people that still have that fear that if they don't do this, they won't have any money. They have a tendency to feed into the fear.
Well, he felt like people would not love him. He felt that if he looked a specific way and if I changed myself because I don't feel that I fit to be this, like I don't feel loving within myself, so maybe people love these people, so maybe if I change myself in this way that people will love me more. And it wasn't true. You know, he thought that people loved him by not only as a performer but how he looked, and people loved him just the way he was. And he didn't, either he didn't believe that or he didn't want that. He mm-hmm. wanted to change himself, or he just did not believe that people loved him the way he really was.
So does anybody in the chat room have any questions they want to ask? Joan, your website, I feel like it's really going to be great and work for you. Well, thank you. And then we have Rita. Lovely Rita. How are you, Rita? We got Joan, guest. And then we have Rita. I can't pronounce that last part. If anybody wants to come on the air and talk with us, feel free to do so. Welcome, everybody. Come on into the show. You're great. We're having some fun here. Yeah, I will say one thing about sometimes when it comes to procedures and stuff that have to be done, mm-hmm. I've seen here lately about the doctors, I got these stitches in my face. They were supposed to be out, they're between 4 to 5 days. Well, Friday was the fifth day, or the fourth or fifth day, and I called the people I was supposed to call. I ended up calling them twice. Well, I called them the first time, they said, well, the lady will get back with you to schedule an appointment to get those stitches out. Well, no one called, so I called them back Friday, and she goes, I don't have any record of you anything here at all. Mm. I said, I just talked to somebody, man. And then, so I was sort of saying, okay, I talked to the person, I did this, I did that. And I was like, okay, that's just freaky. And then they said, well, the guy who's supposed to do those and take those stitches out, he's leaving Monday for another week. I'm saying, well, I'm supposed to have these things out in 4 to 5 days. She goes, well, I guess you could go back to the emergency room. I say, oh, shoot, this is not a procedure. This is not an emergency or nothing. So I'll be sitting there waiting for a long time. And we have another call on the line. We'll bring them on, too. Area code 347. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes, I can. Where are you calling from?
New York.
New York, New York.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, we have another lady on the line with us too, Tempest. And Tempest, this is... Did you tell us your name?
No, Claudia.
Claudia. Claudia, this is Tempest. Tempest, this is Claudia.
Hi.
Hello. I just called and you picked up fast, so I haven't really heard what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Oh, you haven't heard what we've been talking about?
No, I just called and you picked up.
Oh, okay, no problem. Well, the situation is, like, we've been talking about a lot of things, but we were talking about the idea of psychics and compensation, because I was sitting talking about... I've worked for several phone services, and when people call those services, they want you to give them information like in 5 or 6 minutes, whatever, because they're so preoccupied with the money part. They're not realizing that in the sense of focusing too much on that, it can take longer because they're kind of clammed up. So I had a lady call me who got really mean because I sat there and told her that when she called in, she was asking if she's going to need a guy anytime soon. And I said, what I pick up is you need to focus on yourself. Do you do any meditation? She's like, I don't care about that stuff. I just want to know if I'm going to meet a guy or not. And I said, well, this is very important that you focus on yourself. You know, work with the chakras and your things. Those things really, seriously, when they're balanced and they're aligned, the idea of what you're trying to attract is a whole lot easier. But she didn't want to hear it.
Okay.
And she hung up.
Oh my God. Because a few months ago, I started doing the chakra thing, which I had never done. I went online and I tried it, and I saw the things really kind of like were working out for me. And then I kind of stopped, and everything's been pretty much stressed out. And so tonight, just a little while ago, I was meditating and trying to open up my chakras and trying it again. And then, you know, now I call you and you're talking about it.
Yeah, so actually on my earlier show at 9, we were doing chakra chanting.
Okay.
Have you ever done any chakra chanting?
What is that exactly? Because what I tried to do was just like concentrate on the chakras, the different chakras, what they're all about, try to open them up, you know. So that's what I did. I don't know what chakras.
Well, I got this. I have this book here called, it's by a guy named John Holland. He had a book out there, the best-selling author of the book called Born Knowing. This is called Psychic Navigator, Harnessing Your Inner Guidance. And it's got this this section here. It actually goes over the chakras. And there are certain keywords, too, as well.
Oh.
These are just certain ways. I'm trying to find it now. Let's see. Where are you at? I just had it, too. They also talk about breathing. Breath is power. Psychic energy is real and attainable. So it's the idea of tapping into energy, too. And the idea also talks about manifesting. Manifesting your goals is the ideal of focusing on the chakras in alignment and having them balanced out where they vibrate at the right frequency they're supposed to. And this will attract, this will attract exactly what you've been looking for. As you're focusing, it's just the idea. You have to focus on every breath and feel yourself being whole and complete. And then there's one here. There's an affirmation for you. I safely use my breath in all areas of my life, which is just basically talks about, I do this all the time. If you're in a stressful situation, I don't care where you're at or what you're doing. You should stop right that moment and breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth until you calm down and relax. This will definitely make a difference with what you're trying to do. Because I've had a lot of people who are nervous when they take tests in college and that kind of stuff. And it's a scientific fact that when you get nervous, there are certain things in the brain that shut down, which have to do with memory. So the more you can relax, the more you come up with putting yourself in a happy way in your life, the more you're going to accomplish things because you're going to be relaxed and open to it. What's that funny? I can't find these freaking things. Yeah. All right. Let's try this again. It's a small book. That's what ticks me off.
I was also calling because I wanted to ask you if you saw me finding work anytime soon.
Do you want to? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Well, sometimes I look at people because I do the same. People, you have to understand one thing, too. When I get readings from my friends. They do the same thing. Am I going to meet anybody time soon? They go, do you want to? Well, of course I do. But it's one of those things of getting yourself and realizing that when you're... See, this is one thing I had to learn, too. And like right now, I used to get a lot of readings, but now I don't. Because I used to sit there and ask questions, never realizing in the sense of asking the questions, you're having doubts in what you're trying to do. So if you're trying to attract a person into your life, and you ask the question, will I find somebody? The brain hears that doubt, which just reaffirms it even more. So if there was somebody coming in your life, you could actually push it away with that energy. So it's one of those things of focusing back and going, okay, start working on your chakras again. What I would do is work on your chakras and do these chakra chants and then go back and work on the heart chakra even more. Oh, my head. I found these things too now. 7 energy centers. It's called the base of the root chakra. It's red. And the sound for that is LAM. It's spelled LAM. And what you do is you just breathe in through your nose. And as you exhale, you say lam, you lam, and as you're focusing on pronouncing lam, focus on your root chakra at the base of your spine. Feel the vibration just vibrating through the whole body. You know, and then, okay. And if you want to know what's at, it's around the adrenal glands. And the key word for that too, if that chakra, is I have. And then the sacred chakra, and that's also ruby red. So focus on red. And also with red being the color for the root chakra, which is can be also put in the sense of being, what is it, the color for success. You could also, we have this thing called color therapy, where they bring color into your aura. And some people like you want to heal, so you bring in more green energy into your aura and cleanse it out. Because we do have a tendency to harbor things in our aura too. So we do the sacred chakra. The sacred chakra is orange. And the only difference is with that one, see the first one starts with an L. This one here starts with a V, but it's still pronounced the same way. Vom. Vom. It's around, for you it'd be around the ovaries. For me it'd be around the testicles. And that word is, the key word for that one is I am. I'm sorry, it's not I am. It's I want. I want. I want. So if you sit here and look at these things, you put them together. The first one is I have. I want. I want. And then we go to the solar plex, which is I can. But it's a color yellow, and the sound for this one is Ram. Ram. And like I said, as you're focusing on these things, also focus on the chakra that it's for. And imagine that vibration that you're doing going through that chakra, which you'll be balancing and cleaning it. And the word, it's around the pancreas and the adrenals, too, as well. And it's the word, the key word is I can, I can, I can. Now, the one thing you know for a fact, if you're actually succeeding in working with your chakras and changing them, you will feel it. You'll feel a very strong sense of being loved. And a very positive energy. And then we have the heart chakra. The heart chakra, which is green. The sound for that one is yam. And then the thigh. Okay, the word is spelled T-H-Y-M-U-S. Thy music? I don't know. It's a gland. And the key word here is I love, I love, I love. So there's actually a gland around your heart, too. I think it regulates. Which would make perfect sense that the gland regulates not just the energy in your body, but actually spiritual energy as well, too. And that's kind of a cool thing. It tells you you're actually in the right place, in the right the gland. And then you do the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra, which is light blue. And the sound here is hum. Hum. And really vibrate on that, too, because that one there, really, that one, they open that up. It opens up so many things. You know, and it's like these things regulated too with, between your solar plex and your third eye. And some people say there's ear chakras too. And they all seem, those are all spiritual gifts, and they all have spiritual chakras behind them. That's the thyroid. That's the gland it's close to is the thyroid. And the key word here is speak. I speak. I speak. Okay, make sure I got the right one. Then the sixth is the third eye chakra, which is the color indigo. The sound here, we've all heard this sound, om. It's O-M, om. It's a pituitary gland, and the key word here is I see. If you sit there and think about it, you will hear a psychic say that. I see this coming to you, or I see this with you, or I see that. It's in some sense the word. They're using the word, I see, the phrase, but they're also, it's a great way to align your focus, where you keep saying, I see, where it just keeps aligning the focus up more, where you can see more stuff. And the easier one of all of them is the crown chakra. The crown chakra is violet, and the sound for that one is silence. Then the pineal gland is what the one there, and the key word is I know. So what you do with that one is you just breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. You just breathe and pay attention to your breathing. Also, at the same time, you open up your mind. And it's like breathing and letting go of everything and focusing on your crown chakra. And imagine seeing the energy coming through. And as you're clearing it, you keep seeing it. It's almost like looking at it as like watching a waterfall, and you got a bunch of someone who just dumped a bunch of stuff in the water. So it's coming through the waterfall, so you have all this gunk coming through. And what you do is like, it's the same thing here. You just keep doing that until you don't see any more gunk in your crown chakra.
Yes, okay. I kind of knew, you know, what they all were all about. I just didn't know the chanting. Mm-hmm. But I'll look it up online till tomorrow.
Well, I got this chakra thing here. It's talking about the chakra chants go like this. They have the base, the sacred, the solar. Excuse me. The solar plex, the heart, the throat, the eye, and the crown chakra all lined up together. Like a long list. And what they do is they just go through each one of these. Like you go lam and then vam, and you go through, then you go all through all of them, right? And you go through them again. And you keep going through that. You do one after another. Lam, vam, and then ram. You go through the whole thing, and then get to the crown chakra, do your silent chant, where you just take a deep breath and just breathe out, then go through them again. Keep doing that for 5 minutes. And then if you have, like with you, I think you would do more on the heart chakra. But you do the main chakras first. You line all the chakras up. And then if you feel like you need to work on that a little bit extra on these chakras, then you go back and do that. A lot of people have a tendency to just work on these chakras, when actually it's best to sit there and work with all of them to keep them in alignment, keep them cleansed. And then if you feel like you need to go back and work on, like with you, I get the impression it's more like the heart chakra and the ground and the root chakra. And they do say ground. They do say the grounding chakra, true, which is basically you have a chakra at the base of your spine, but you also have a chakra underneath your feet. They work together on grounding you when you focus. You know.
Okay. So.
That'll be 300.
So basically, for work, you just think I have to work on my chakras. You don't see anything definite. Like in a few months, a few weeks, days.
Oh, you're talking about the job?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I usually go over all the basics, the tools and that kind of stuff, and then I get to the point of asking the questions. But, you know, so I'm not going to not answer. Oh, shoot. Guess who's old? No, I don't want to know. This woman drives me nuts. I know she's listening. All right, just see something here. I want to check out something real quick. Yeah, I'm just saying, do the chakras, do the cleansings, and go back and forth and do that kind of stuff. All I'm saying is, I do feel like that when you do those kind of things, things will happen very quickly. It's just one of those things that keeping you in alignment, okay? I keep forgetting something. Keep things in alignment so that you can keep open to it. So we'll definitely come. It's like you're talking about a job, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now.
What are you doing right now?
School.
Yeah, I was just wondering. So I felt like you had some kind of project going on.
Yeah, I'm in college, but I need a part time at least. I need to work, so I am actively trying to apply for positions, and I just wanted to know if it was going to happen anytime soon.
Let me ask you a question with the situation. Why do you think you need a job?
Because I need the money to survive.
That's true too, but in the process of manifestation, attracting everything you need, it's just the idea of thinking about it, because there's actually a thing on YouTube. It's called the Abraham Hicks Money Rampage, and you should go to YouTube and get that. It's a money rampage. What it does, it goes over a bunch of stuff on how you can manifest money, and talks about the idea of walking the payment. All it does is put a lot of pressure on your feet. It doesn't really solve the problem. If you could have somebody point out what direction to go into, you'd like that, wouldn't you? So the idea when we're talking about the chakras and the auras and that kind of stuff, and lining those all up so therefore you can hear your guidance that comes through, is because it's there to point you in the right direction. As long as the signal is open and you can hear it very clearly, then you make decisions very quickly. And the things you're looking for, they come to you a whole lot quicker. But see, you're like a magnet. You're basically attracting everything to you right now. It's just that getting aligned with it and letting down your resistance to accept it. Because if you have things in your mind, as we call worldly things, in the Bible it says, you're here on this planet, but you don't have to be of the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. What that means is, don't fall into these traps that say, I have to have a job to make money. It's like money, your job, your boss, those are not your supply. It's tracing it back to a higher source that has no restrictions. It's just the idea of learning how to ask. Because even the Bible says that. Ask and you shall receive. It doesn't say, well, you got to have your job first before you can ask. It doesn't say that. So I'm just saying, with the situation, and I did this too. I was sitting talking to my ex-fiance's mom. I said, if I can sit here and manifest all the money I need, to have all my needs and desires met, my wants, needs, and desires all be met, but never leave the house, would I still need to get a job? And she said yes. And the reason she said that is because that's what she's been taught. So you look at situations and go, okay, I've been taught that you have to have a job and that kind of stuff. Then why is it so hard to get one? Or why is it so hard in certain situations of finding those things and those things falling into alignment? It's not until you start thinking in a different way or letting down the resistance and thinking in a more positive that you already have it, then it comes in. So with the situation that you're in right now, of saying I have to have the money to survive, you're surviving right now, breathing, eating, drinking, the whole thing. And it seems like, I'm just saying, just look at the present situation and what's going on right now. Things are going really, they're going pretty good. You're still breathing. Nothing's happened to you that could hurt you or anything like that. So I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying, but the thing is, I need to work because, I need the money. It's not like I want it. It's because I need it. You know, I got bills to pay.
Well, if you sit here and thought about it and focused and say, okay, got real clear about exactly what you need to do that every month, and somebody walked up to you tomorrow and hands you a check for $25,000. Do you think it could happen? It can happen. But to answer your question, could you be in a situation where if you didn't get a job in 2 months, but you did get a job in 2 months, like the beginning of June, would it be too far away for you?
At this point, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. You know, I'm not in good shape economically, so I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm. I really think that you work on the chakras, okay? Clear that out. Because, you know, the situation of a lot of things that need to be cleared out is the fear. Every time you don't think you can do something, you get fear. So it's just the idea of trying to line yourself up to not be pulled into that pit of fear so you can focus on attracting the job that you want. Because I'm just saying, when you sit here and look at the situation of the fears that you're bringing into this whole thing, or worry, it's worry. Someone put this: worry is praying for bad things. Because that's what you're focusing on the time.
No, I don't think so. Because I'm not. You know, I used to worry a lot before, and I don't really worry that much anymore. I mean, it comes to my mind once in a while, and you know, so I go down the internet, I look for work, I ask people, but. You know, I didn't know of any jobs or anything, so it's not like
I think a couple of weeks. I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying, when people worry, that's what I mean, I should generalize it and say, when people worry, all that's doing is praying for bad things. Because at that moment of worrying, all you're thinking about is all the bad things that could happen.
Yeah, I used to worry a lot 4 years ago. When I used to really worry a lot, and I wouldn't even sleep.
Ooh.
But now it's not like that. I mean, I'm just aware of what I have to do. You know, I mean, I'm in school. That's my priority. that's my priority. But and I want to find a job that will allow me to continue with my education. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm focusing on, you know. But,
I'm just saying,
yeah.
I'm just saying, in the course of this whole situation,
mm-hmm.
do not lose track of your number one priority. That's you.
Mhm.
It's not, you okay? Because the other things don't happen if you don't focus on you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now,
I still feel like with the situation you're talking about, with the job and that kind of stuff, it could be 2 weeks. And I get a fluctuation in timing because I feel like that the more you really put a lot, really put yourself into this, into these cleansings and focusing on you and, excuse me, really focusing on exactly what you want, this changes the whole thing. And I just feel like things are going to speed up where it can go from a certain period. But I also feel like a lot of opportunities are going to come to you in a certain sense of the words of certain things being taken care of. Some of the things you're kind of wondering how they're going to be taken care of if you don't get a job. You see what I'm saying? So it's like stop thinking about anything but focusing on those things about yourself that you need to work on. Because the other things, I just feel like once you let down the resistance, then the things you're looking for will come to you so easily. I understand you say you need to work. So therefore, since that's where you're focusing on and you feel like it's what you need to do, I don't feel like it's that far off. But what I'm trying to say to you is I keep seeing over and over again, there are certain opportunities for things to be paid off, certain things to be taken care of, certain things that you would acquire. All I can do is tell you what I see, what I feel, what I know. Because
mm-hmm.
I know when I lived in Colorado, I went through a couple of times where I wasn't sure exactly what was going to happen, but I refused to be pulled into it. So I just kept going on and on and on. And actually one day my landlord did stop me and he asked me, he said, does anything bother you? And I'm like, no, why should it? He goes, well, do you realize you're $250 behind on the rent? I said, yes, I am. But I said, let me ask you one thing. What do you want me to do? You want me to worry about it? Or do you want me to focus and use that same energy and go find your money for you? You know, after I told him that, he looked at me and he said, I can't argue with that. That sounds good. Yeah, I would really for you to focus on getting my money and not worry. Do you know after I sit here and talk to him about that, he never asked me again? And there was a couple times after that, I was still behind on the rent. But it was just the idea of looking at him going, I'm focusing on acquiring what I'm looking for right now, what you want. I understand what you want. I want the same thing too. It's just that, I have need to open myself up to that. And I know for a fact if I focus too much on the worry part, the other part won't happen. Or if it does, it's going to be delayed. And I don't want either one to happen. So I would do, every day I would walk out the door happy, smile on my face, no matter what anybody tried to convince me the day was, I was going to determine it was going to be a good day and a happy day. And it's kind of funny how when I left that place, I remember this too, as I was moving my furniture out to go to my new cottage, which I had focused on. I remember walking into this place too, because he goes, the rent's $625, which was kind of funny because most of those places are going for $12. But I remember writing in my journal, I wanted to have a nice cottage. It was $625 a month. And when I walked up in there, and I didn't have any money with me either, and I loved the place, so I gave her $25 to hold it for me, which she said, I normally don't do this, but she did for me. That's what I'm saying. It's like looking at the world and say, okay, this defies reality right now. And this sit there and look at the situation with what I would like to see happen. And when I moved my furniture from my apartment to that cottage, I just realized at that moment every piece of furniture in that apartment I had been given to me, or I had done some kind of service for somebody and they gave me furniture in return. Or because I had a JVC stereo, one of the most expensive stereos, and all I did was paint some lady's deck for her. She gave me that, a television. And I think something else, too. But I just thought it was amazing that every time I started really focusing on what I really wanted, I started getting it. So that's what I'm saying to you. Now, like I said before, with the situation with the job, I keep getting 2 weeks. But I also see other opportunities coming in there that these other things that you're kind of worried about, there's opportunities coming for those to be taken care of too, so therefore you can hang on until the job comes through that you're looking for.
Okay.
I don't see you losing anything.
No, I mean, you know, God has always been very good to me. One way or another, I survive. But I'm just at a point that, you know, I would just rather, have something steady, something that can help me so that I can continue my education. And because that's really my priority right now, because I know I need to do it. I know this is what I want. So I'm trying to figure out how to go about it. And then, like I said, you know, tonight I tried doing the chakra thing again. And then hopefully, you know, I think it'll work, because I was doing it a few months ago, and it helped. I saw just like an energy in me, and everything was just so positive.
Yeah, because I was saying to you was too, like, to, you know, you find some good affirmations, like, I'm rich and free as I was meant to be. Or my favorite one is, I'm tired of just getting by. I want the total freedom of lavish abundance. Money comes to me easily and frequently. Money comes equally. Okay. I'll try to say this. Money comes easily and frequently to me. I did that one time. I was working for the carnival, man. I remember this. I said, money comes easily and frequently. Money comes easily and frequently. I did some things this morning. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I just feel money coming to me all the time. And I was working one of the rides that day, and my boss came to me, and he goes, and I was just busting butt on this freaking ride. And he came up to me, and he just looked at me, and he said, "Did you get a loan today? Because we could get a loan every day, like $20." And I said, "No." He said, "Would you like to have one?" I said, "Yeah, okay, sure. Why?" He said, "No, I'm not going to give you one." He said, "I'm going to give you a bonus," and he handed me a $20 bill and walked away. And things like that used to happen to me all the time. Or one day I was got a notion to go down to the freaking carryout and buy three scratch offs and $150. I remember that one time I actually told a friend of mine that. I said, "I'm going down to the Shell station to win $50. He goes, "Okay, whatever." And I came back and he said, "Did you win your money?" I said, "Yeah. I got a Mountain Dew and a box of Pop Tarts." Every time anything good happened to me, that was my big thing. And he was like, "That's kind of freaky." I'm just saying, keep your mind positive, focus on anything. I mean, I always just sit there and imagine people handing me money.
Okay, I will do that.
and if I had a bill to pay, what I would do is imagine someone giving me money, or in my case, I do readings and stuff, so I'd imagine getting readings, and then going from that point, I'd see myself handing the money to the people I owed to. So I would sit there and tell myself, I now have all the money I need for my personal needs and the needs of my family, so therefore I can happily pay my bills and joyfully meet my obligations. So you're always doing everything in a happy way.
Yeah.
That energy will definitely draw things to you, okay?
Yes. Okay. And just one more question. Do you see anything in love?
Now, on that one, you have to wait until summer. But I think with all the things going on and what's going to be happening here in the next couple of months, you're going to see why. Because you need to focus on you and what's going on in your life. And in the process of really focusing on your career and that kind of stuff, that person's going to come into the mix. He's going to be a part of it. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Something, someone who's going to compliment you. Because I feel like the last couple of dates or people you've been with and that kind of stuff kind of took away from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So it'd be more like the end of June.
Do you see one person coming in the summer?
Uh-huh.
Meaningful?
Yeah. I would say yes. Big time.
Okay.
All righty?
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Okay,
bye-bye. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say before you go?
Luke, you just had someone there with you, right? And we left her out of the conversation. I want to say bye.
Oh, okay. Actually, we're the only ones here. Well, not anymore, but we had some people come and just jumped in. But the one you're talking about, they left.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Tempest, I think.
All right. Okay. Good night, then.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye. Wireless, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good question.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Jarvis.
Jarvis?
Yes.
Okay, Jarvis, what's up?
Well, I mean, I have most likely the job questions, and I don't know. Everything was working out fine, but I was kind of having a bad day today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, is this because of a full moon or just another... Because, you know, I mean, I've been told that every time good things happen, all the bad things happen also. So...
Okay.
I don't know. I was just having a bad day.
When it comes to me, I don't believe in the idea of good things and bad things happen at the same time. The idea, I know that people talk about duality and that kind of stuff, but I do believe that we start focusing on nothing but positive things. And positive things are the only thing that's going to happen. But there are times that we have a tendency to slip, not realizing just the one thought can actually manifest into something. So it's just the idea of paying attention on your thinking. But with this full moon and that kind of stuff, you got to watch what people say, too. That stuff can pull you in so freaking quick because everybody keeps saying this and this and this and this. And we're actually going over chakras today and noticing that one book goes a little more detailed in the chakras and another book has a tendency to go in a different direction. So there's many different perceptions. So it's the idea of trying to find out what you really strongly believe in your gut and going with that instead of what everybody says. Because they are true. I mean, the moon is probably closer than it ever has been. But, and there's been earthquakes and that kind of stuff, and people have been reporting a lot of energy drains and either being drained too much or being too much off the wall and want to bounce off the ceiling. So, you know, it's one of those things you just put it out there and ask yourself, how do I feel right now? Which direction should I go into? And then if you don't really know what, there's a lot of powerful energy out here where you can actually focus and really connect with your angels even stronger, too. So there's guidance everywhere.
I see. Well, how do you see, like, for my job-wise, do you see progressing or anything? What happened?
Progress? I see lots of progress, man.
Great, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Just keep focusing on what you're... Because it's like one of those things, be very crystal clear intentions. Focus with unwavering faith.
It's
some people say it's hard, but see, sometimes it is hard because we're listening to everybody else. It's the idea of realizing that everybody else has their own vision and what they want to attain, and they have a tendency to pull people into that too as well.
I see.
Yes, OZ, like get some buckets in. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just kind of rattle off in that Buddha kind of Caribbean language. But I'm just saying focus and maintain that focus on exactly what you really want to do. Well, somebody went to the bathroom.
Yeah, not me.
I just want to check out some things here. Area code... I think this might be a Skype call. It's 000012. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hey, it's Amy.
0001. Okay, I'm losing it. Is that Skype?
Hello?
Amy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Wireless was talking about his situation,
yeah.
And he's talking about a job and focusing, but this moon thing, he's talking about the big full moon, and draining people, making people feel kind of like loopy. Do you think it's loopy, or is it just people talking?
Well, I think the over-magnification of the moon... can
uh-huh.
make things seem a lot scarier than they actually are.
Right.
Would you agree?
Yes, I do. It's just I also noticed a lot of people are talking about it. We're getting a lot of different perceptions on what that is, too. And that can drive you crazy because you're like, okay, which one is which? Because we were on the show today, on my earlier show, we were doing things on chakras, and we were noticing there's a difference between what John Holland thinks and focuses on with his chakra clearings and chantings than enduring virtue. So there's a lot of different perceptions on things that we all know about.
Everyone has their own way, but I don't think that makes anyone wrong.
No, I'm just saying, sometimes if we don't know what we're doing, we have all these people you need to listen to, which one should we go with? And I was just telling him the best thing to do in that situation is to go with your gut feeling, because there is a lot of energy, but it's also makes it a whole lot easier to connect with your angels and guides too.
Right.
So if you have a problem and you don't know what to do, just ask. Boy, have I asked.
Yeah, they're hearing what is meant for them to hear, but, you know, just because I hear a certain thing and they tell me to do certain things that the time of the full moon or the new moon doesn't mean that that's right for anyone else.
Right. Exactly.
No.
Just listen and see. Like you asked me tonight, with the situation of this gym, what do you feel? And I said, I feel like my health is more important. Now, some people sit there and think about your health is more important, so therefore you should sue them for medical bills and pay that kind of stuff. And that's not what I got. I said, my health is important. And I actually like living there, working there. I like working out there and stuff like that. But at the same time, your health is important. So in the process of you sitting there saying that it's going to take more out of, you know, you're going to get, what is it? Not the ideal of spending more money, but it's the ideal. You, by going through this whole thing, it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's worth it to put that much into something that when you should walk away. And that's what I got too. It was like, not the idea of walking away, but not going there in the first place. But I have a couple of people around me who keep saying, you should do something. This could be the answer to your financial problems. Some sort of going, that's a scary thing. Okay, we lost wireless. Okay. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry, but there's someone on the line that I don't know. Okay. Area code 773. Okay, 772. There are no 772. It's a 720. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Okay. Yes.
Hello. How are you?
I don't know, man. Amy's here, too.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, guys. Yo, hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Tempest again. I got bumped off of the house. I'm calling
back.
Oh,
hey, Tempest, how are you? And then we got 720. Okay, Tempest is here. Then there's Tevin. Yeah, shoot. Take a deep breath here, buddy. 720, what's your name?
Cheryl. Yes. I'm in Colorado.
Where are you at in Colorado?
I am in Littleton.
Oh, you're actually on the suburbs of Denver.
Yes.
Yes.
And I love it.
They actually play with the carnival out there, and we actually played that mall over there in Littleton.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I love Denver. I'm from Texas originally, but I love Denver. I'm very happy here.
Another sign. I've been talking to a lot of people lately that are in Colorado, and keep saying, do you have a couch?
I have a few.
So I was sitting there going, it's like I'm getting the money and stuff like that, but I was like looking for alternatives and say, okay, what is up here? Can somebody like, God, if I could just get one big donation and say bye.
Just one more, huh? I have a question about the chakras.
Okay. Who the heck is, okay, I just heard someone say, Block Talk Radio. Okay.
Oh, wasn't me.
Wasn't me?
Wasn't me.
Okay, what's your question about the chakras?
You said when they're balanced, you feel different?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Now, when I feel balanced, that doesn't mean you're going to feel balanced. You got to work on your own chakras.
Right. And I've been doing, I had a meditation, chakra meditation tape,
mm-hmm.
but I can't tell any difference in what I'm if I'm feeling differently or not. Does that make sense?
Well, see, the one thing I was telling about, because see, the book I have here is called Chakra Chanting, but see, I've been going through different variations, and sometimes when you sit there and, like, I would do, there was somebody would do Doreen Virtue's chakra clearing, but get nothing out of it. It's one of those things of finding out what works for you, or even taking an existing meditation and kind of fine-tuning it to you. It's mm-hmm. the idea of focusing and focusing until you feel that vibration, because when I started doing these, the reason I like these chakra chantings, I can do these things anywhere. And when I started working with these things, I could actually pronounce them. When I did the lams, I could focus on my root chakra. And as I breathe, I could imagine myself breathing through that chakra too. So it kind of like aligned it. It kind of pulled it out for me where I could see it. But I could also feel it. And what I do is sometimes, you know, when you do the meditations, the reason I like the chanting part was because I can go through this as many times as I want to. And I found out that when I go through these things several times, then I start raising my vibration up and then I can feel it. If I just go through it one time, it's the idea of also, you know, some of these things that people look at and go, oh, I can do that, and they don't read it. It actually says here, at least do this for 5 minutes.
Right.
So some people go through this and go, bomb, bomb, and then they have a certain way of doing it. What I tell people to do is that you'd be amazed what you can do in 5 minutes, really. Because I sit there and do the bomb. I try to pronounce these things as I try to pull them out as long as I can to get that vibration going on, but also focusing on it, how it resonates with my body. So, you know, there, and then maybe somebody else might get this chakra too, this chakra chanting, and it might not do nothing for them. But it's one of those things of working with it. That's what we talk about doing the work. You can get, you know, you get all these things going on. Like I say, I recommend books all the time because I feel like, you know, knowledge is great, but you have to come up with a way that what works for you. Because I've, like with the one, when I sit here and talk about the one meditation I talk about where it's like focusing on that essence behind the heart. And then that, I actually saw that in a couple of books where it's basically just talking about there's a pilolite behind the heart, which is the God essence. And I've just kind of like, I've kind of extended on it where I've done many meditations by using the same one, but just doing that simple meditation didn't really work for me. So I've worked with it and fine tune it. So some people might say, well, that sounds familiar to Doreen Virtue's chakras or whoever's it is. It is a variation of the whole thing. But I worked it out to where it works for me. So it's not totally the same thing as hers or his. It's probably a combination of everybody's and me too, what works. Because they recommend these things all the time, and they really put these things into play, and they really do work for some people. So they are there to help you. But I said this is the one that's helped me out. Because I've always seen different things with vibrations and music. And I'm also a person really into music, so these things really work for me. But they might not work for you. But if you have a chakra meditation that you're using right now that you're not really getting a lot out of, maybe focus on it and then maybe do it a little bit longer. Or maybe it's one of those things I tell people all the time is do a full chakra cleansing and balancing out. But at the same time, you might have to go back on certain ones, like your heart chakra. If you have a lot of things you've been through, you might have to get a little bit of work on the heart chakra. And the reason I recommend Doreen Virtue, she does have a lot of chakras where she has, She has a lot of meditations on just working on the third eye, working on the heart chakra. There are certain variations. And a lot of people do work more on the third eye chakra, your heart chakra, and your root chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of meditations about those things. So just, you know, check it out, see what you can do, or just simply come up with what works for you. I mean, I used to have one where I used to go up on the mountain and just basically focus on colors. And focus on each other's chakras. Go ahead, sorry.
I guess that's where I'm having a hard time is I've been trying a lot of different things, and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. I feel like I'm, I don't know, mm-hmm. numb. Like
I'm sorry. I wasn't talking to you.
Okay.
I was just noticing that Amy, she's not on the line anymore, and I was kind of wanting to talk to her.
She'll probably call back.
Because I was just looking over some things, and she'll come back. Okay, I hope she does. Amy, come back.
I'm sure she's listening.
Okay. Yes. And we'll go ahead and open up. See, I sure I hit the wrong button. What I like to do is I like to open the mics up and let everybody talk and say, hey, what's your situation with chakras? Anybody have any questions about chakras and that kind of thing? Or if you have some questions you'd like to have us answer, that's fine too. Right now we got one I was curious about was there's a number on here, 614. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, hello. How are you?
That's a good question. And I'm pretty sure one of these days I'm going to have a great answer. But and the lady we were talking to before, 720. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm not really good at names. They keep, like, you know, and I'm pretty
I
sure.
I give you a different name every time.
Some people do. You'd be amazed how people call the show, and I know who they are, and they say, well, hello, my name's Sally. I'm sitting going, not really. But we'll just let you go with that. I'm just saying, work on the chakras, go get some books. And it's like one of those things, I sit down and go, okay, angels, I'm trying to find, I want this to work, and I really want this to affect my life in a very positive way. How can I do that? Could you direct me to go in that right direction? I mean, I've found furniture. I've gotten furniture for all kinds of things. I'd love to do the whole thing.
Well, I feel like I've tried to listen, and I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if maybe I'm expecting too much, and maybe that's my problem.
Well, sometimes you got to sit down and look at the situation and how bad your chakras was in the first place. I've had some people who would look at situations of chakras
mm-hmm.
and think they need to do a lot of work on them, and then found out later on they really didn't need to do that much work on them. They were pretty much balanced and all kind of like out and that kind of thing too. So.
But how would you know? I mean, if you can't feel anything.
Well, it's like going through the procedure. Just do the meditations and then ask yourself, if you can't feel anything per se.
Hello there.
Hello.
Oh, that was
yes.
Great. Evil spirits. Okay. Okay. That was. Okay. Well, I thought you thought off, didn't it? No, what you need to do is you need to also look at the situation, how it affects your day. Sometimes people
okay.
do chakra clearings. They don't feel something with them personally, but when they're out in their day and they're, like, doing it, they seem to make decisions a whole lot easier. Are they more verbal? Or they hear things? So sometimes we're all looking for a certain vibration or a certain energy within ourselves when we do the chakra clearing at the time. When it might be just clearing something out to make us, to put us in a position to do things we couldn't normally do, which means we got rid of the blockage. So if you're a person who used to sit there and go, I really wanted to say something, and now you are, that means
mm-hmm.
you've gotten rid of that blockage through your chakra clearings, which is what you're supposed to do anyway. You're clearing your chakras so they can actually work properly and do what they were meant to do in the first place.
Okay.
So just keep doing that whole thing, working. It'd be great.
Okay,
I'm just saying, for example, I had a friend of mine, we went to this place, it was very positive, and she goes, I don't feel the positive energy. I said, well, how are you feeling right now? She goes, I feel very positive. I said, well, maybe you're not feeling it because you're part of it.
Okay.
Heck yeah, baby. Amy?
Hello?
Is Amy there?
Hello?
Amy, how are you? Can you hear me?
I'm here. Sorry, my Skype cut out.
No, that's okay. I've had that happen to me so many times. But yes, the caller we had right here, yes. I'm telling you right now, I feel like you've done some clearings and gotten the blockages out there. But just because you're not feeling this high vibrational thing going on means that you're pretty much in there.
Okay.
So pay attention to what's going on in your life. So if you've been able to speak a lot more than you have in the past, you've gotten rid of a blockage. If you feel something that you didn't feel before, you've gotten rid of a blockage. If you're attracting more abundance in your life, you probably got rid of some blockages in your root chakra, so now you're open up to that.
Okay. That makes sense.
I feel alignment and balance with you anyway. So like I said before, my friend, we was in Casadega, and she's like, this would be very positive here. How come I don't feel it? And I said, because you're a part of it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for calling. And if you want to, you can stick around and listen to everybody else.
I will.
Okay.
I enjoy listening to your show.
Okay, thank you. Amy.
I would highly suggest this caller listen to this one song. I don't know why it's coming to me right now, but it's called This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race by Fall Out Boy. Listen to it. I don't know why.
What's the name of it?
Right now. It's called This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race by Fall Out Boy.
Okay.
I'd love to play it. I don't know how it has something to do with you, but it's all about using words. The use of words.
Using words.
Okay.
Use of spoken word. I know I can draw this totally into something spiritual. It's all about use of words and what our intention is when we talk, when we say what we want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what we say isn't really what we want or what we mean. I don't know why, but that means something. I just feel like that really means something with your situation right now.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm going to listen to that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Donnie, I wish I could send it to you right now. We could play it right now and we could dance on the couch.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your name?
I could Skype it to you. Come on. I'm serious.
I know you're serious. It's like I'm trying to figure out, okay, how can we do this? Because people send me stuff all the time. I'm sitting there going, I push the button, but nothing's happening.
Well, I could send it to you.
Okay.
On Skype, and you could play it.
All right. We'll see what we can do, right? Oh, you know, there's a lady coming back again, Inferno Bitch. And who comes up with these names, man? Well, that's
Hello.
Positive. Was that Inferno Bitch? I'm just kidding. Let's see.
But, Donnie, if I send it to you, will you play it? You promise?
I promise. Let's see here. I'm serious.
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay, I'm going to play it, too. Okay.
It's a great song. I know it doesn't sound like it's spiritual, but it really does speak back to spoken word. So, go ahead.
Let's see what happens. Area code 661, are you here, right?
Yes, I am.
Hi, sir. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Ron. And
your
it really is Ron.
Okay, your name is really Ron? Or
it
Ron?
Really is Ron.
Okay, Ron. So, Ron, have you been listening to the conversation, which has basically been touching on a lot of different topics tonight?
Yes.
So
I've been listening. I'm listening intently.
Yeah, this I talk about chakras a lot because I feel like the alignment is like having an antenna on your radio. If it's broken, it doesn't work, so the signal is bad. But when you put a new antenna on that whole thing, it just opens up a new world for you. And that's the biggest thing I'm always striving to do to help people out with certain things, because it makes a big difference of being able to make decisions spontaneously because you can hear guidance so clearly which direction to go in.
I would agree with that. I find that I can listen to other people's problems while I'm not in any way psychic. I can listen to other people's problems, and the solution to those problems, or at least a path to find the solution, seems obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, I find that I'm always too close to the forest to see the trees.
Yeah. I keep running into those damn trees, too. Yeah. Let's see. Okay.
So, speaking of those trees, I'm very curious about where my love life is taking me.
Yeah,
in the past, it's taken me straight to hell, but
I was trying to think about that too, and like, do we really want to go there? You know, but that's intense stuff. What's your so this relationship that you're in? Can we have the your significant other's first name?
Yeah, her first name is Mary.
Mary. Marys are always dangerous. What it is, but they always seem to scare the hell out of me. I had a girlfriend like her named Mary, too. The more the better the relationship got. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, perhaps too much religious upbringing.
That's the way she was, too. She was a Catholic.
Okay, that scares me now.
That's why I brought her up. To scare the hell out of you. But so many similarities. You're going, oh, my goodness, life is going to scare us all to death.
Something's got to kill us.
I'm just saying, it was a situation of, she was very Catholic, and then she sat here and said, and then she, it's like she, sometimes girls really freak me out when they're sort of trying to play themselves off as being pure in the some sense of the word. And, then she comes on the second, it's like saying in the first part of the statement, I like to have a, you know, have a very honest relationship and be very faithful. And then the last part of the comment she made was, I've had too much sex in my life and I shouldn't have any more.
You were, I guess you were just one boyfriend too late.
And I'm sort of going, what the hell does that mean? I guess she's past, she should have been sold on the August 31st, and now she's past the due date, I guess. I don't know. But I was sitting there looking at her going, what does that mean? And she's like, well, first it was like, the sex life is great, and then it's not. And I just couldn't keep up with it because we're talking like, we're not talking like in months, we're talking in weeks. I'm opening.
Oh.
Can anybody hear this?
I hear it, but you have to wait, wait.
Excuse me, sir. Anyway,
well, at least somebody saw fit to share. I'm not sure what it is they're sharing.
Well, what I'm trying to do is... I'm over here enjoying myself, guys.
I don't know if I should try to talk over that or not. I guess I will. Everybody says I can talk over anything.
I turned it off. He can finish his talk, his conversation. I'm sorry. I just pushed the button. Everything started playing, so I was like, hey, this is pretty cool.
See, my Mary's a little more confusing because she was Catholic, and then she converted to Judaism, and now is leaning towards Buddhism and to the Tantra.
Tantra?
And our sex life is amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, never mind. I was going to say.
When it's happening.
Go ahead.
When it's happening.
Okay.
I don't see it happening right now.
Well, not while I'm on the phone.
You know something? You'd be surprised how many people have actually been on the show who are doing other things they shouldn't be doing while they're talking to me, and I don't like it. But it does happen.
Well, I try to be respectful and devote my attention. If you're going to spend your time hosting a show like this, the least I feel the least a caller can do is devote their attention to the conversation.
That makes sense. So we focus, we do the whole thing, it'll be okay. What's your situation with this woman you're talking about? You have this awesome sex life. It seems you're going great and that kind of stuff. So what's the one thing that's bothering you about the situation? Because it seemed like
not
you are questioning her.
Great.
I'm sorry, sweetie. What'd you say?
I was just saying, like, I don't know if you were referring to me, but I'm listening to this whole entire conversation. I don't think this is going great at all.
Okay, so what we do?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't sound like my Mary. So.
Okay, all right. That, so you have no problems. I'm sorry.
My,
you have no problems. There's no reason to be calling into the show.
Well, no, I mean...
Oh, come on, this is late night, man. We're just talking about whatever. So,
yeah, you know. I think we've got two different conversations going on right now.
So what's wrong?
I'm curious about where the future of the relationship is going.
I
mean, beyond great sex. And enjoying each other's company.
And sharing cheese and cheesecake and that kind of stuff, yeah.
You know, you were peeking in the kitchen, yeah. Love cheese. Love cheesecake.
I know. That's what I do. sitting here telling us all this stuff going, I don't understand the problem. If there is one, I don't see it. I'm just looking at the situation going, if you want to call in and you want to brag about this great relationship, hey, more power to you. I think more people need to do that because there's so many. We have so many questions more about the opposite, where we'd like to hear some happy stories about people, you know, having food parties, and we won't go any more deeper than that. But
well, I think that where I'm concerned, I'm secure in every part of my life except in relationships.
So basically, when we look at the situation, what your problem is, in a sense, is that you have this great relationship, and the reason you're thinking that there might be some kind of fallout in time soon is because of what you've been through, not because of what's happening.
Exactly. Exactly. History has a tendency of repeating itself.
That's true, too, but it's because we focus on those mishaps and bring them back in. So in a situation like this, what I would sit here and give you a prescription on was, do not think about those, and look at this relationship as this is the first one you've ever had. So therefore, you can't use anything else because there's realistically everything that's happened a minute ago in the past doesn't exist anymore.
So I can see.
Yeah, so don't use that. Just sit there going, okay, it doesn't exist anymore. It's this big old black void, and this thing in front of me is so wide open and so bright.
Well, I can see that because she's totally. She's totally different than any other woman that I've ever known, and certainly any woman that I've ever been in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say? That religious thing kind of freaked me out. But
why? That I find that fascinating. I find that people who always question their own beliefs and who have whose minds are open to new and different teachings
tend
to be better rounded.
That's true. So with the situation, guys want to ask Amy. Amy, what do you think about anything?
I don't want to talk about this situation because I don't see what he's talking about. I don't see that she's even around right now. I just see she's withdrawn. I'm not jiving with what he's saying. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm not. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, Amy, when you say you don't see her being around, are you speaking emotionally or physically or in
metaphorically.
What context? Metaphorically?
I'm talking about, like, if someone's involved, they're around, whether it be physically or mentally, emotionally. When I look at this, I get she's at a crossroads. She's not really sure what she wants to do. And when I look at her, I see her being withdrawn both emotionally and physically. So I know you're talking about having this great sex, but I don't even see that. Like, I'm not saying you haven't had great sex, but in the present moment right now, I don't even see her being in your energy. So I don't know how long it's been, but I'm just not seeing someone who's, like, involved. I'm seeing someone who's more withdrawn.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. We see
even communication. Communication looks like it's at a lull or a low. It doesn't even look like a lot of communication either. And I'm not saying you're wrong and you're lying. I'm just saying, like, I don't see it.
And when you say you don't see it, where is it that you don't see it?
Well, when I'm talking about communication, like when I see like an exchange going on back and forth with like being in touch, I don't see that. I get some legal matters coming up for her, and that has something to do with it, but... I don't know.
Well,
I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to rain on your parade and I don't want to be let down.
I'm always interested in input. I don't necessarily accept everything I hear, but I certainly consider everything I hear, and that's why I take my time. That's why I took my time to call in. Actually, she and I speak several times a day. We see each other virtually every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a subject that we don't talk about. So I find that...
Well, when I look at her position, I'm seeing I'm uncertain. I'm fearful of the unknown. I don't know where I'm going. I feel lost. I feel like I'm in transition. I feel like my whole life is changing. And I feel like I have some legal matters to attend to as well.
Well, she does. She does. She's coming out of a marriage.
I see.
Does that clarify anything for you?
Well, it
that you can clarify for me.
It makes me feel like I'm on the right track here, as far as like legally. But when I hear what you have to say, and I look at what you're saying here, and I look at what I'm seeing, I see someone who's not putting a lot of effort into things. I see someone who doesn't know what to do. I see someone who has a lot to learn. There's a lot of immaturity here. So I don't know on what level you're having a relationship with her. I'm just saying from what I can see, I'd say it looks high school to me. It looks like she's more resting on her laurels of being overly confident in who she is and what she has to offer, and limiting herself by thinking that she can just kind of sit back and not really have to put much effort into things. I hate to be the downer. Again, I don't even want to talk about this because I feel like I'm just raining on your parade.
Oh, no, not
I
at all.
Really...
Not at all, because it, to me, as I said before, all input is good input.
Wow.
Well, you're a rarity, honey, in this line of work that I do. Most people don't want to hear this, you know?
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad your ears are open.
Well, when I do listen to psychics, which I do fairly often, I find myself amazed at the people who will call in and will continue to ask the same question over and over and over. Waiting to get the answer that they want to hear, as opposed to seeking what someone is able to glean from whatever medium they're using.
Yeah, we have that kind of thing coming out of town. People come and call and talk about this, that, and the other, and you're just like, gosh, didn't we just talk about this yesterday? Oh, yeah, we did.
Under the theory that somehow the universe will change overnight. Excuse me.
Can you see that you're up against someone who's a bit guarded?
Oh, yeah. Someone who's been hurt. Who's been hurt in the past.
Apprehensive.
Exactly. No, and it's something that she and I have discussed. She's been hurt in the past, and she has issues with trust, and she has issues.
Do you also see that she has issues with responsibility or accountability, like really stepping up?
I have
accountable.
I haven't seen that during our relationship thus far. I see it quite the opposite. She does have a lot of responsibilities, and she meets all of those responsibilities, and she makes time, as I do. We both have busy lives, and we both make time to spend with each other.
I'm talking about and having something real and being there for something more than a good time. Because I see she has fun with you. I mean, she's telling me, like, I enjoy our time together. We have fun. It's like a respite from the responsibilities or the cares of the world. But when I look at her individual responsibility towards you, I get someone who's shirking responsibility. So I'm not saying she's not completely responsible, but I am saying towards you, this is more of like a leisurely respite from the cares of the world, but not really stepping up and being what she knows she should be towards you.
Do you see any I'm sorry, go ahead.
Too busy being stuck in disappointment about her own life. Do you notice this woman talks a lot about what's going wrong in her own life?
Not a lot. I mean, it's focused on one particular part of her life that's going wrong as far as the rest of her life is concerned. All of her conversations are very positive. And this is, for her and I, this is a fairly new relationship. It's a matter of months. And as I see it, there's been progression, albeit slow. And she and she's very quick to clarify that she needs to take our relationship on a day-by-day basis.
Do you get that this woman feels like a victim of her own life? Or a victim of the circumstances that she finds herself in?
I think that insofar as the relationship that she's coming out of, not so much that she feels like a victim, but she's, I think she has been victimized in that relationship.
Do you think there's anything really holding her back from being this victim that she portrays herself to be? Really, like in reality, do you really think that these circumstances that she talks about are really against her, like she couldn't move past them?
No, I think she can move past them, but I think she, for perfectly legitimate reasons...
Financial reasons?
No, not financial reasons. I think for perfectly legitimate reasons, she needs to move slowly, even if I wasn't in the picture. She'd be doing the same.
I see it as financial.
You see it as financial?
Yeah, I see part of it she feels is that it's financial.
Well, I suppose that is possible. But as I said, the things that are holding her back are, in my mind, legitimate concerns. And I think she continues to juxtapose herself between her kids' welfare and her own happiness.
Do you think that perhaps, and I'm just asking you, as you know, I'm not saying I'm right or you're wrong or whatever, but I'm just saying, do you think perhaps that it might be a fear of change that's holding her back, the uncertainty of the unknown?
I think
and the trend.
I think everyone. Well, let me phrase that differently. I think most people are apprehensive about change. I think that sometimes, at least in my own experience in my life, that the most positive change that has come into my life has been change that I resisted and that I was apprehensive about.
Right, because when I ask her what's holding you back, she's saying it's too much of a risk or a gamble. I feel like I'm uncertain of the outcome. I feel like I'm afraid of what I don't know. And that's why nothing's happening. So I feel like she's stuck in a situation where she could get out of it, although she feels like she's handcuffed and she can't get out of it. When I ask her, though, what's stopping you? She's saying it's risky, it's dicey, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's why nothing is happening.
And let me ask you, how does that impact her feelings towards me? I mean, other than the obvious of moving forward with a relationship.
I mean, look. How does that impact her feelings towards him? It makes her inwardly conflicted. It makes her feel like she might be, if she were to go with you, losing something that she wants to hang on to. And in this case, unfortunately, it looks material, to be honest with you. And it makes her a little bit prone to introspection and silent contemplation, meaning like she's not really telling you what she's thinking. So it compromises the communication, as I was saying before. I know you guys talk every day, as you said, but when I looked at it originally, I was seeing a communication rift, like everything's not on the table here.
Well, in the situation that you see, do you believe that she can be involved in a love affair with me while still being apprehensive about leaving a known entity behind?
Meaning, like, she could be involved with you while contemplating her direction with regards to the other person?
Yeah, no, yes, in other words, if she's telling me that she's in love with me, but being honest and saying, I don't know when I'm going to be able to move away from this relationship, and telling me, I don't think it's fair to you. In other words, her telling me that it's not fair to me because she's honestly said, I can't commit anything long term, but I do love you.
So can her heart be involved with you and at the same time be contemplating her direction with regards to this other person?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see. Okay. The first thing that comes up here is that this woman definitely has a trust issue. Okay? So when we were talking previously about her being guarded and apprehensive and untrusting, she definitely has this guard up for a reason. Okay? So to talk about this woman being completely in love with someone is not really accurate. Not to say that she doesn't have the capacity to be in love, but until she can drop her guard and be completely vulnerable to another human being, I don't consider that completely in love. That's just my own take on it. Now, when I look at her and ask her, could you be completely in love with the person I'm talking to, she's saying, I don't think that I want the accountability or the responsibility of that. I'm seeing something that's telling me that she's being almost like thinking of herself as a lone wolf. Someone who is thinking about their agenda, someone who wants certain things, someone who will take what they want and leave enough behind so that they have a foot in the door, so that they can come back and get what they want later if they choose to do so. What I see is someone with a broken heart who's not completely capable of being in love to the nth degree that we're talking about here. When you say in love, I'm believing it's meaning what I feel to be in love, which is unconditional vulnerability and surrender to another human being. I don't see that she's able to do that. I'm getting that she's someone who does not trust other people, who is suspicious of others' motives. And the reason that she's suspicious of others' motives is because she has some motives herself. And I'm not saying that she's a bad person for doing so. I'm just saying that she is someone who is not, at this point, completely capable of being in love. Vulnerable, unconditional, like the way you and I would think of being in love.
That's interesting when you, you know, when you speak of the vulnerability aspects of it. In my career, I deal with people who are vulnerable all the time. And,
what do you do? What do you do?
I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Oh, wow. I took criminology in college. I minored in psychology.
Well.
Okay, so well. We have something in common.
Yes. And, you know, and I think that because of my professional life, I frequently tend to be over analytical of my personal relationships.
Hold on. Oh,
oh
my God.
No.
Hold
Lovely.
On.
I'm holding.
I'm sorry.
We also got,
oh
we
God,
got,
Donnie, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, I guess we'll let it slide this time.
Okay. Well, you've done it plenty on my show, so get
That's true. I just want to sit there and tell everybody that we have other people with us. And I'm not talking about spirits, okay? We got 805 and 915. Yeah, guys, we're talking to you. I'm sorry, Ian.
Hi.
Everybody say hello.
Hello.
Hi, Donnie. Hi, Amy.
Huh? And who are
hey.
You? You sound familiar.
I'm Sabrina from 805.
805? I thought that was Sabrina from the Teenage
SoCal?
Witch.
SoCal? Are you from SoCal?
Yes.
Woohoo!
I'm Sabrina
SoCal in the house.
From the chat room.
Oh,
you're who?
Sabrina. Sabrina from the chat room. How about,
hello.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Let's see. 915, you here too? 915.
Sabrina, hello? are you Sabreezy?
Yeah.
Okay,
wait,
Sabreezy.
Sabreezy. Oh, I knew it was Sabreezy.
Hey, Amy.
Oh, cool. Hi.
Okay, guys.
Hello.
Sorry.
That's okay, I think.
Is that man still there, the criminal defense attorney? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here. I just felt like I was being too much the lawyer, and
No, I love
too much.
It. I have my best friend's an attorney. She's more in medical malpractice and personal injury, but No, I love it. No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to apologize to you. I don't mean to sound like a bitch about your relationship. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I think that...
Sabreezy.
I think that you're being candid about what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I just don't... I have to be completely frank with you. I don't like what I'm seeing. When I see certain things like what I'm seeing right now, I can put that back to something I've seen before, and it bothers me because I don't get I get a lack of responsibility and accountability, and I don't like that. When I see that, that really bothers me. So I don't know. I know you're saying you talk every day and you guys have this relationship or whatever, but I would really put it in the back of your mind, what I'm saying, and at some point, if you need her to step up in some way that would put her out of her comfort zone, I would do it and see what you get. Because I don't know. I don't like this lone wolf thing, like this I've got an agenda thing, this I'm going to sneak and kind of, it's almost like going to the grocery store and grabbing a bunch of things off the shelf and taking your cart and just whizzing by the cashier's register and going right out the door with it. I don't like it. It's telling me there's a thief here, and it doesn't have to be a literal thief that would steal things from you, but they could steal your heart and disappear, and I don't like that.
Well, that's interesting, because about a month ago, we had a discussion about something that was stepping out of her comfort zone, and for her was taking a major risk, and she did vacillate on it a bit, but as the time to make a decision closer, she did stepped up completely.
Okay, so let me ask you, how much was it to step up? I mean, I don't know what the situation was. I'm not going to claim I know when I don't know. But I can tell you what I'm seeing is I don't want to take responsibility. I don't want to be accountable. So I don't know how much accountability or responsibility this took, but I would really question that. That doesn't convince me that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you prove me wrong. I want you to prove me wrong. I mean, as a criminal defense attorney, I'm saying I'm the prosecutor. Here's my evidence. Prove me wrong. I really do. I want you to prove me wrong. I just don't see the level of accountability, responsibility, or her figuring out that, you know what, I'm not a victim of the circumstance I'm in. I don't have anything in my way. I can walk forward unencumbered and free to do what I please. And I'm not saying that she doesn't have responsibility towards her children, of course. But I don't see anything in her way. Like when you tell me these things about she has certain things that are getting in her way, like her kids and her responsibilities, whatever, I don't see that's even it. I get it's more financial. Now, I know you've said to me it's not financial. But I'm going to stand by what I'm seeing here and tell you I feel it is financial. It's a risk for her.
Hmm.
Well, I think there's a financial component in most moves. I'm recently out of a business partnership in my law practice, and
mm-hmm.
I stayed there for a year longer than I should have, and my only motivation there was financial.
But you're willing to move forward in the face of financial uncertainty. She does not look like you. She looks like I'm taking everything I own and I'm putting it on 13 black and hoping that it comes true if I were to move forward with this.
Well, but isn't there a difference between, I understand what you're saying about unconditional love, but a difference between having concerns for, let's take your scenario and discount her children and talk concerns for the lifestyle that she's living, which would be her financial concerns,
mm-hmm.
and the lifestyle that she could continue to live in the future, her financial lifestyle. Is that necessarily inconsistent with where her heart is at? Remember, you wanted to be the prosecutor.
That's fine. What I see is someone who feels a little bit, okay, I'm just going to tell you how I'm getting it. Someone who feels a little bit overconfident because of their keen ability to manipulate situations to their advantage. At the same time, they feel overconfident. They worry their ass off. Excuse my language, but It's almost like someone who can't sleep at night over the concerns that they have. Even though they're presenting themselves as, yeah, I can do it. I can pull this off. It's a cakewalk. It's no problem.
Oh, no.
Really, when it comes down, really, when it comes down to it, it feels like, oh, my God, what am I going to do?
I think that that's, again, my question remains the same. I'll stipulate for the purposes of our conversation. God, that sounded like a lawyer.
I watch 48 Hours 24/7. I love it. Go ahead.
Me too.
I will stipulate that she is quite concerned with her present situation and the ramifications of extricating herself from that situation. But again, I questioned whether or not you can still carry on a love affair and whether your heart can be there. I guess I reflect on the book and the movie same time next year.
Mm-hmm. I know we're losing someone here. Sabrizi, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry. I know you're going. I didn't want to like lose you if you wanted to say something. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm just listening still.
You didn't have any questions you want to ask or anything like that?
I don't tend to ask questions too much, but I just find the conversation interesting. Oh.
Cool.
Well, that's a good question to ask. We actually did lose 915, which was
Rita.
Rita.
Yeah, she said
Paisley?
Her neck was hurting.
She said what?
No, Rita.
Oh.
Morales from the chat.
Okay.
This reminds me of a Beatles song. Rita. Okay. Rita, the meter maid.
Donnie, I don't want to be rude and take over your show, so please, you know, interrupt me.
Well, somebody's got something kicking in where we got backfade going. I've heard, wow, man, it's like a triplicate. I was hearing my voice. I heard Amy's voice like three times over. I was like, whoa, amplification. No, that's what I was asking. Rita, if she had any questions. I was fixing to ask Rita, but Rita, she kind of bowed up. She was actually emailing me. I'm not emailing me, but sending me some messages in the chat room. Rita has left the room. Are you talking about... You know, I sent her to talk about chakras a lot, but I was sending her to talk about her. She was talking about some dreams that she got where she got pushed back onto the ground. And the very first thing that came to me was she needed to do more grounding to bring herself back down to the ground. So it was a little flighty, a little fleety, hanging too much in the head in the clouds, that kind of thing. So, son of a... Okay,
well, I guess I have
a
question. I can ask one.
Okay, cool.
I'm kind of planning on going to Australia for a month in the summer as like a study abroad program.
Okay, do you have room for another person?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to go somewhere. Vacation. Oh, you know, Australia seems like a cool place. So.
Yeah, study abroad, but, like, I'm concerned about money.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to worry about it too much.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, who's got something on? Dancing around. Okay, thank you. What the heck was that? Does anybody want to volunteer the information and take the blame for that craziness?
Nope.
I guess not. Nope. No craziness there. Okay, no problem. That's okay. I was just wondering if someone would take it. If not, I guess we'll just leave it in the mystery. It's one of those Nancy Drew mystery things. We'll never figure it out because they went to one too many commercials and now the show got canceled. But, you know, life in the fast lane.
Well, what I get about this is that it looks like summertime has a big theme here, so I don't know if you're going in the summer or not.
Yeah, it's in the summer.
Okay. So they're saying, right, like, you're looking out at the summer as, like, being optimistic, being happy, being full of faith. You're going to feel a little bit like you're, it's almost like this martyrdom that comes up, like, I feel like I'm hung up, like I can't really do anything about my situation. They are saying that moderation will prevail, meaning right timing, right circumstance, everything is going to work out fine. They're just really cautioning you to look at this martyrdom, like, when you get there, don't think, oh, my God, I'm hogtied. There's nothing I can do. That's not true. They're saying take a more moderate middle road approach to things and know that, okay, there are some things I can do. If I'm suffering financially, I can do certain things to try and alleviate this pressure. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be Jesus Christ on the cross, strung up and feeling sorry for myself because I feel like there's something I can do. That's not true. I'm saying that's not true.
Okay. So I can see that, actually.
Try and take it easy on yourself and say, okay, I'm in this situation. It's not the best. Okay, fine. But there's certain things I can do. So let me do what I can do and meanwhile not beat myself up about how I didn't plan ahead, how I got myself into, because I just think you're very hard on yourself. They're saying don't do that. Don't do that. Don't beat yourself up.
Okay. No, I could totally, yeah. I've been doing that lately with money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think that A, you're powerless, or B, you have to beat yourself up about the circumstance you're in. They're saying take a moderate middle road approach. Everything will work out fine. But don't be Jesus Christ. You don't have to be. You don't have to be.
Okay.
Donnie?
Yes, don't do that. I'm just saying, you know. Sometimes when it comes to the situations, I mean, when you put it out there and it's pretty clear, I mean, what else more is there to add to it? I mean, I don't see Jesus Christ as basically as that, but I understand what she's saying. So, because I definitely got the ideal, beat yourself up and smack yourself with a freaking pad of money. Should I have more of this? I want, you know.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
That was pretty funny, though.
I'm just saying, you know. So, I know I can identify with it. So, like, let down the resistance. Let down the resistance.
Yeah. I'm really tired. You're way back east and stuff.
What's that?
You guys are so up so late.
Yeah, we're always
up
so late.
You get that? Yeah.
Seriously, man, I think me and Amy talked one night until, like, what, 7 o'clock in the morning.
We did with my friend Sue. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. And I took a Keen call in the middle of it. It was, like, 2 hours long. I came back, and they were still there talking. I'm like, holy crap, it's, like, 3 in the morning. I thought someone would hang up at that point, but they didn't. It was funny.
Yeah, she actually came back in the conversation, scared the hell out of us, too, because we didn't see, you know, it's like, hey, guys, I'm back. Whoa, okay, thank you. You got, like, eased into the conversation, man. Sheesh. I had to go change my shorts and everything. So it was craziness. But, but when we finally did get off the phone, it was, like, 7:30 in the morning. The sun was up. The chicken was sitting there saying, what the hell is your problem? Oh, I'm sorry. The chicken was mad.
No!
Yep.
No. No, that's cool. I just wanted to say one more thing about the martyrdom. Like, it does work for us because if we're Jesus Christ on the cross, there's really nothing that we can do, right? So we don't have to be too responsible for what happens to us. And I know that's not you, Sabrina. I totally know that's not you. But they're just saying make sure that you're not skirting any responsibility by claiming this victim status, like, oh, you know, I'm in this situation and there's nothing I can do. This thing, everything will work out fine as long as you stay out of that martyr complex.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally get that. Like, don't whine about it. Don't feel bad. Just take the initiative about it, I guess.
Yeah. Don't think you're powerless, because you're not. It's a lie. It's not true. It's totally not true. You have plenty of options. Just use them.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and tell yourself, oh, I can't, in the face of all these options, because it's easier to say, I'm up against a brick wall and there's nothing I can do, so I might as well just sit here and be the mark. That's true.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
What was that?
Maybe, you know, it's like being in a rowboat and no oars and saying you can't get nowhere when you can actually take your hands and start moving.
Right.
That makes sense, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Like water sound thing. It sounded like a dog playing the water, but I was reaching for something there. Well, that was very interesting, and our lawyer is still here. So, hey, can I ask you a legal question? Since we got you here and everything, and you kept us up all night, so you know, just kidding.
Well, if you could provide me with a billing address, of course you can.
Oh, really? Okay. Just as long as we can exchange billing addresses, it's okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know, if you don't say it, you never know. So I'm just going to...
Well, no, fire away. I'll give you... I think that quid pro quo is the only equitable way to proceed.
As Dr. Hannibal Lecter says, yes.
Absolutely.
I don't
know. Pro quo, Clary.
I know, you got that stuck in my head now.
Yeah, this movie scared the hell out of me. Okay.
I love those movies. Oh, my God.
That was
go
a
ahead.
Great
Sorry.
Movie. The first one was the best one, I think.
Which one was that? Shoot.
Silence of the Lambs was the first one.
Okay, Silence of the Lambs, and then there was one. That was the last one where it was, God, what was that one? Where it really got the idea of the details of why he was the way he was.
Was it Red Dragon?
Yeah.
Hannibal came
Edward
second.
Norton.
Remember the third one.
Okay.
So what's the legal question?
Oh, it's the idea of the situation of, I don't know, it's like this thing about this gym thing. I'm trying to say, okay, what would be a good way to deal with this whole thing that could be even profitable in any kind of shape or form, which almost before I even ask the question, I really don't see if there's any way of doing that. But I guess it was just the idea. The question was, when I joined the gym, we had to sign an affidavit when we went in there. Now, from what I understand, that just covers the idea of getting hurt in the gym, that like, my understanding and that kind of stuff, but if a piece of equipment is actually damaged, which is their problem, which is their fault, and they still allow someone to use that equipment, aren't they still liable?
Yes. Yeah, because you can only assume a known risk. You cannot assume an unknown risk. So when you release someone from liability, you're releasing them from the liability that occurs in the ordinary course of business. If a piece of equipment is faulty and they know that the piece of equipment is faulty and they don't take it out of service and someone is injured, it raises a couple of issues. It's a products liability issue as far as the manufacturer of the equipment is concerned, as well as who maintains the equipment, but it also is a liability that the gym undertakes by not either fixing the problem or effectively taking it out of service.
Mm-hmm. Because I was sort of looking at the situation going, okay, we sit there and go, we got the machinery in there now. Nothing's wrong with the whole thing, and it breaks because of the manufacturer, then the manufacturer would be liable for the situation, so it would take the gym out of it. But once the people in the gym mess with that piece of equipment, even try to fix it or whatever, that takes it away from the manufacturer and it puts it back on them, correct?
Well, it remains on both of them. Because unless the defect is a defect that goes back to the design or the manufacturer, the manufacturer is always going to say there's not a problem with our design, nor is there a problem with the way we manufactured our product. The problem lies in how the product was used. So the only way to sort that out is to name everybody as a defendant. And, of course, it's outside of the realm of my practice, but I do have friends that do products liability and personal injury work.
Okay. No, I was just trying to figure the situation out and which way to proceed, if I want to proceed at all, because it's just one of those situations where I want to be out of here and in Colorado by June, and therefore anything that would keep that from happening, I'm not willing to go through.
Well, litigation is always time consuming.
I know. And the situation at hand, it's just so it's like if they walked up to me tomorrow and said, "Okay, we're going to pay for your doctor bills. We're going to give you a check for $3,000," I'd take it because it would save me time and every energy like that kind of thing. And actually, with this situation, that's exactly what I've been focusing on. I've actually written it that way in my journal. So therefore, I believe we can attract everything and bring everything to us. And as soon as I wrote that in my journal, the next thing I know, they called me and said, "Well, we're going to sit down. We want to sit down with you and kind of get Jack and us together. We're going to sit down and talk to you about this whole thing." So I'm still focusing on maybe the strong possibility of getting something out of the situation without actually having to do anything. I still believe that people will do the right thing in the right situation.
Well, I have a quote from The Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Hannibal says, "First principles, Clarice, simplicity. Read Marcus Aurelius. Of each particular thing you ask, what is it in itself? What is its nature? What does he do, this man you seek?" And she says, "Kills women." And he says, "No, that is incidental. What is the first and principal thing he does? What needs does he serve by killing?" And she says, "Anger, social acceptance, and sexual frustration, sir." And he says, "No, he covets. That is his nature. And how do we begin to covet, Clarice? Do we seek out things to covet? Make an effort to answer now." And she says, "No, we just." And he says, "No, we begin by coveting what we see every day. Don't you feel eyes moving over your body, Clarice? And don't your eyes seek out things you want?" And that's what this entire thing feels like to me. It just feels like coveting. Do you really think, Donnie, like they did something wrong? Do you honestly, honestly believe that they did something wrong? Are you looking to capitalize on someone's infallibility?
This is the second time this has happened. I'm not the only person that's been hurt on this bench, and it still sits there where it is now. And it was a day after I got hurt, they actually fixed it, and they actually fixed it correctly. Before that, it had been sitting there for like 2 or 3 months, back and forth with people, messed with it and done this, that, and the other. And finally, after I did hurt myself, the machine was actually fixed correctly. It was a day afterwards. It wasn't no hesitation, no nothing. It was all done just like that. And then I found out I wasn't the only person that got hurt on this thing. So it's one of those
manufacturer out of it. Their efforts.
What's that?
Repair the machine and not repair the machine according to the manufacturer's patient will manufacturer out of the picture.
Well, let's just say that as a criminal defense attorney, do you represent anyone who's in prison?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. I don't know what kind of case you take. I'm asking, but I want to know.
Very few people that go to jail need my services.
No, I'm not talking about jail. I'm talking about prison. There is a difference, is there not?
Yeah, there is.
The extent of my practice as a trial practice is pre-conviction. So I only do a few post-conviction motions, and, of course, the fewer the better. But as far as appellate work, no, I don't do appellate work. So from that standpoint, I don't represent people who are actually in the penitentiary as opposed to in the county jail.
I see. So being that as it may, you don't really deal with people that are up against a life sentence that can't get out and that are desperate to get out and are trying to appeal their cases.
Not from the appellate standpoint, but at the present time, the next within the next few months, I've got two murder cases that I'm trying, so both of those are life in prison cases.
Well, let me ask you something, because I had an attorney who was a teacher of mine in criminal justice school. I went to a university, a Catholic university, and he said to me, you know, I asked him, I was thinking about taking the LSATs and going for to be a lawyer, and he said to me, are you sure you want to do that? And I said, well, I don't know what you mean. You're a criminal defense attorney. I don't know why you would say something like that. And he said, well, I had someone come to my office at a certain point in time. This is in Pennsylvania. And he said, this person was a convicted child molester, and they were up on charges for child molesting, and they wanted me to defend them. How do you think I felt about that? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know you very well, but I would say that from what you're saying right now, that bothered you. And he said, yeah, it bothered me. It bothered me a lot. And my mother asked me, when I came to her and told her what was happening, and this man came to me and gave me a lot of money to defend him, I couldn't do it.
That's the right answer. I concur completely. There are cases that I will not consider. There, when a potential new client contacts my office outside of their you know, their name and contact information, the next question that comes up is what charges are against and what charges they're facing, and I don't represent people who are charged with certain types of offenses, and one of those offenses is anything that has to do with children, whether it's a sexual offense or whether it's an abuse offense. And the reason I don't is that while I'm a constitutionalist, 100% a constitutionalist, and I believe that everybody has or should have their constitutional rights, despite George W. Bush. I still wholeheartedly believe in the Constitution. But as part of that, the Sixth Amendment right to counsel guarantees effective counsel. I can't effectively represent someone who is accused of committing a crime which is so abhorrent to me that I can't often be objective. I have a responsibility not only to myself, but which is my, of course, has my primary responsibilities, my own moral values, and where I feel I fit into the grand scheme of things, into the universe, if you will. I owe them an ethical obligation not to represent them, and the mere thought of what they're charged with sickens me.
Well, let me ask you a question. This is a long-term paper I wrote. Do you believe in capital punishment?
No.
I don't either. I don't. And I'm so glad you said that, because there are so many people. I watched Texas's death row. I watched the stats. I watched people die on Texas's death row, and I read their last statements. And I think it's abhorrent to say that you cannot kill someone, but we're going to kill you for killing someone if you do.
I agree.
It doesn't deter anybody either, really, does it?
I agree, and honestly,
no.
I think that the punishment of life in prison is perhaps I believe that it's a greater detriment. Having visited inmates in the state prison system, having clients that are on parole and get arrested on new cases, that life in prison to me is far worse than,
absolutely,
than putting someone out of their misery. It always brings to my mind Timothy McVeigh and the Oklahoma City bombings. Timothy McVeigh said, "I waive all my rights to appeal. Execute me now. I've accomplished what I wanted to do, right, wrong, or indifferent, and I think it was an injustice to the victims, and it was a reward to Timothy McVeigh."
Right.
I agree. I just don't think it's right to kill. Like, if we say as a society it's wrong to kill, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's the truth. It's wrong. It's just wrong. So who are we to say that we can kill people who kill other people because they've killed people? I don't understand that. And Donnie's right. It's not a deterrent. I pored over so many studies, so many books in college, looking for some kind of deterrent. And what I found was, in the heat of a moment, in the commission of a crime, no one's thinking, I'm going to die for this. I might not want to do this. They're thinking, heat of the moment. It's a passion. It's just mm-hmm. something that happens. So I have a really hard time with justice in the justice system. And I guess that's why I've turned so spiritual in my beliefs. And when I got out of college, even though I graduated with honors, I decided to commit my life to this work rather than trying to get some form of justice in the justice system when there really isn't any justice. It doesn't seem like there is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that one of the problems with the criminal justice system, which California attempted to address back in the late 60s, early 70s, by going to determinate sentences. In other words, if you're accused of, say, possession of narcotics, your sentence would be 16 months, years, or 3 years in the state prison, as opposed to an indeterminate sentence, which would be, say, 2 years to life, or 2 to 10.
Right.
Take into consideration when analyzing the criminal justice system.
But I still don't think we're addressing the fact of addiction, and people that are addicted to drugs aren't really, I wouldn't say that they're not criminal, but they're under the influence of something that is beyond their control. I don't know if you agree with me there, but I've had family members in my own family that have been, you know, institutionalized for drug abuse. It's not a choice. It's more like, something that you're a victim to that you cannot, and I'm not, I don't get me wrong, I do not believe in victimization, but I do believe that people who are addicts don't really have their full faculties to make decisions, and that's why I've committed my show and part of what I make every year to Project Prison Insight, a group that goes into San Quentin and that actually educates inmates on what it is to be emotionally healthy, what it is to be in control of their anger. They teach them about yoga and practices of yoga and spirituality. I think there's something lost to addicts in this world, and I think we lock them up, and we cost a lot of taxpayers precious money by trying to lock up drug addicts who really are just going to go out and reoffend. I don't know what you believe about drug addicts, but what I've seen, the rate of
recidivism.
Thank you. I wasn't even trying to attempt that right now. Yes, recidivism is very, very high. So who are we really helping here? What are we doing?
If I may, I believe is that whenever you're dealing with an addict, the first thing that should be done that isn't done is to examine the genetic links which may or may not exist, because there are certain people who genetically, two college kids pick up a pitcher of beer. One of them, before they take their first sip, is already an alcoholic.
Right.
That's my belief, by virtue of the fact that they have a genetic predisposition. It doesn't mean that they have to become an alcoholic, but the chances are, in my opinion, and from everything that I've read and from my experience, far greater that that person will become an alcoholic, or someone who tries narcotics for the first time will become a drug addict, become addicted to something, and it's based on a genetic history, genetic links. And that makes it even more of a disease than people who are simply addicted. I believe everyone has their addictions, and they may not be substance addictions. Some people are adrenaline
food addicts. Yes, yes.
Some people, a thrill seeker is the same as an adrenaline junkie. Other people are just addicted to overspending, to shopping. It's their emotional crutch, and if you have the money to be a thrill seeker, or if you have the money to shop instantly, then there's nothing illegal about it. But if you have money to buy drugs, legal.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't. You're right, in my opinion. You know, I agree with you. There just is not enough that is done to address the underlying problem, not so much the problem of, well, this person is an addict. Well, what are we doing? Finding out why this person is an addict and attempting to do something, and not being a medical doctor, I don't know what can be done, if anything, to go after the root cause. But I think the money would be far better spent on that root cause than the hundreds of thousands of dollars it takes to incarcerate a person, only to put them back out into society and
have them reoffend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if a drug addict steals, a drug addict steals to get drugs.
What is that?
That's my computer in the background.
Okay.
That means somebody lost connection with their Skype. That's what happens when I lose the connection.
Yeah.
I hear something like someone dropping water into a bucket.
Well, now let me get back to my subject for a moment. Let me ask you this question. Well,
okay.
Hang on a second. Let me shut this off, because now it's aggravating me. What did I do? Did I lose internet connection on this side?
Oh, that's right. You're using a phone. That's different.
Yeah.
That is crazy stuff there, buddy.
Okay. There, that shut that off. Let me see.
That really sucks too, man.
All right, Donnie, I'm going to send you another sound file. You have to play it, okay?
Hang on
okay.
a second, let me... Oh, Lord.
I have to play it?
Yeah, can you? Little monotony breakup?
Sure.
Okay, here, I have my question for you now, if I may. With Mary, do you see her... Do you see her leaving her situation in the near future?
All right, let me see. No. No, I see her being a little hesitant, a bit cautious in doing so, because she feels like She's going to be losing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I know, like you said, it's not about the money and whatever, but I just see her clutching on like Ebenezer Scrooge.
That's harsh.
I'm sorry. I'm known as the Queen of Doom, if you don't know me in certain circles. Many of my clients have called me such, and I feel bad about that, but I can't lie, and I won't.
That's what
they're telling me. Like, she's just not willing to give up what she has. And it does look material.
Are you getting your, can I ask what medium you're using? Are you using tarot cards?
Yeah, I use the tarot, and I use my spirit guide, Ziola, who has been with me since I was 4. Although we've not always been in touch, she came back to me after I got over my I guess puberty. my guy thing.
Well, I know from my daughter, I don't think I don't think that the state of being a teenager is necessarily curable.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on your individualistic outlook. But yeah, once I got over or beyond guys, she came back, and thank God she did.
Well, now,
from a small age. Mm-hmm, good.
The one question that lingers is still in the capacity that Mary has of clutching on to the relationship she has for material reasons or for any other reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the relationship, it's the materialism. Go ahead.
Okay, so then how does that conflict with her being in love with me, other than what you said before, and that is her inability or her unwillingness to completely divest herself of the other part of her life? Because I believe that we have a romantic side of our lives. We have a business side to our lives. We have certainly a material side of our lives. I know I wouldn't get up and go to court again tomorrow without, except for the fact, because I've accomplished in my career everything that I've wanted to do in a courtroom. I've been practicing a very long time. I'm not happy with the way the system is. But getting back to my question, I can be... I do separate my professional life with an aspect of my social life, which is a totally considered to be a totally antisocial endeavor from my romantic life.
My
question is, can Mary, as you're seeing this, be in love with me while still clutching on to the relationship, despite the fact that she can't make that 100% commitment?
Well, the biggest thing that comes up with Mary is that her fear and uncertainty of the unknown will basically ride out above and beyond anything that she feels romantically. What I get is there's a lot of passion there, but it's circumvented by her fear of, I don't know, of uncertainty, of, is this really what I'm seeing it to be? It's like doubt, questioning. It's almost like, if you can picture this, it's the best way I can draw it out to you. If you're in your backyard, let's say it's at night. Let's say the full moon that we're in right now is in the sky. So there's some light coming into the backyard. let's say there's a couple trees out there that are swaying in the breeze. You could look at that from your deck and say, well, I can't really see those trees. I see something moving. It almost looks like an arm. I don't really know what I'm seeing. That's kind of scary. I'm not sure. Oh, my God. Maybe that's something else. Maybe that's something supernatural. I'm really not sure. And you freak yourself out. That's what it looks like to me. So, in essence, what I see happening when you ask me, is this something that she can kind of be in love with me at the same time she's going through this? I get, no. She's restricting herself from being able to see beyond those scary limbs out in the backyard that are looking like they're monsters when they're really not. They're just tree limbs swaying in the breeze. So I'd say the way that this impacts your relationship with her is that she's not able to move forward for some kind of fear that makes no sense to you or to her. It's just, I can't. It's almost like asking someone, upon seeing these tree limbs out in the breeze, to move forward towards them and see if they'll get swept up within them. It's too scary. I don't want to do that. No. So, I get, no, it's too scary. It's too uncertain. I don't see how they're just tree limbs. I see them as scary things. It's too uncertain. It's too scary.
Well, certainly from what you're seeing, your analogy makes sense.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. I don't want to be right.
Well, I'm going to fight.
What's that song by Kenny Rogers? Is it Kenny Rogers? I don't even remember. Something, I don't want to be right. What the hell is that?
I can't think of it.
If loving you is wrong,
he was wrong.
I don't want to
be right.
Yeah, I don't want to be right. Yeah, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What? Again, I'm trying to resist the temptation of both being a zealous cross-examiner and also wanting to get the personally wanting to hear the answer that I want. How often are the things that you see incorrect?
I don't know. Like I'm sure I'm incorrect on many occasions, but I do read professionally as a full-time career. I do pay my bills this way. I have regular clients that call me. I don't know what my accuracy rate is. I know a lot of people would say 99.6% or whatever. I haven't done the research. I did take research methods and statistical methods in college. I haven't done the math, but I'd say most likely I'm correct if, and this is the whole big if nothing in the present moment dynamic energy doesn't change, meaning, like, if nothing changes, if you're on this course and you're going along the way that you're going on, and you nor her changes anything drastically, this is probably what's going to happen. So I always leave it open. Like, I don't believe in predestination. I don't believe that the outcome is the outcome is the outcome. But if you do nothing, if neither of you do nothing, the change, what I'm seeing, I believe that's what's going to happen. That's the overriding theme.
So
and I don't really see it's up to you. It's up to her.
Well, is it fair to say that what the situation is today might change tomorrow? And when I say tomorrow, I'm not speaking literally. I'm speaking at a point
That's if she changes her energy so drastically that she's willing to do something different other than what I'm seeing. And from what I'm seeing, she is very, very much someone who plays it safe, does not take risks, who does not gamble with her security. And I don't believe that's what's going to happen here. I'm sorry to say. I hope. I have a show on Blog Talk Radio here. It's called Cupid Psychic Aim. It's every Tuesday and Friday from 10 to midnight. If something happens other than telling you, please call me. Call me and tell me I was dead wrong. I want to hear it. I'd love to hear it. And I really mean that sincerely. I don't want to be right about these things. I really don't.
Okay, well, that's helpful. And I appreciate it.
Just put it under your hat. Don't live your life by the dictates of what I'm saying. Just keep it under your hat and see what happens.
I shall do exactly that. To me, it's a forewarned is forearmed. So the more information, as I said at the outset, the more information that I have to deal with, excuse me, that I have to analyze any situation in my life, the more likely it is that I will come to that I will come to a good decision for my own welfare.
Well, some strange noises tonight.
Yeah, I'd love to work with you. I'd love to go down to Texas and visit the death row inmates and interview them and do a documentary on it. Maybe somehow we could work together sometime in the future. I'd love it.
Well, that would be great. And your show on Blog Talk is what?
It's called Cupid Psychic Aim. My name is Amy. And we're on Tuesdays and Fridays from 10 to midnight Eastern Standard Time. I also have a website. It's called cupidshealinghearts.com.
I'll definitely look for your show. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
It's been great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much, and I apologize to anyone whose time I monopolized.
Well, that's all right. I'll get the fan mail tomorrow.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, well.
Wow, that was cool. Is Sabreezy still there?
No, she left too.
Oh, damn.
And then Wanda was on the line, and I opened up her mic, but she was snoring. So
oh,
I'll
my
hear about,
God.
She'll call me tomorrow and tell me how she's pissed off me because I left her on the freaking phone so long she fell asleep. But she's, first lately, she has not been the most patient person. Every time she gets on there, she goes, I'm tired of letting you do this. She said, I'm tired of you sitting there talking and doing these readings for 40 minutes for some people. I'm sitting there going, Dew. I just picture Bugs Bunny with that freaking arrow with the big plunger. Yeah, you know. But she's a...
Well, thank you, Donnie. That was fun.
Oh, no problem. Oh, shoot. And I'm sorry I didn't take off your show, but when you was playing your music, I just noticed the clock. I was like, oh, I got like 10 minutes. I got to get going with my show. So thank you for having me on your show, too, for a period of time. Sorry I had to drop out like that. You forgot about me,
didn't? No, it's all good. I knew you had a show.
Oh, so you didn't forget about me. You just knew I had to zip off, huh?
Yeah, I knew.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been having a blast.
That's good. Just curious. I haven't talked to you in a while. Well, it probably hasn't been that long, but...
Seems like a long time.
Yeah, because we were sort of talking all the time.